Falklands are obvious. Battle of Blair Mountains, obvious. The Battle of Matewan is obvious. One would hope that the Hawk's Nest Tunnel would be obvious. But there are other things as well. The New River coal fields where Mother Jones trod the ground and saw such sights as caused her to say that when she died she would make sure to mention West Virginia to Almighty God, because it was obvious from the conditions down here that he had never heard of us until that time. So we've got that. Your thoughts, for those of you who are inclined toward labor history, is there anything that just jumps right out there? They're going to try to have up to 25 events or individuals on the map. You're thinking as to what ought to go there. And again, to submit a nomination, the board in the West Virginia Labor History Association can be reached at area code 304-345-5850. Participate, especially those of you with longer memories than some others. Now, you know I've developed this penchant, this penchant for wandering by the holy of holies of the Internet, you know, these people who are literally holier than thou, the websites for Focus on the Family, the website for the Family Research Council, and Donald Wildman, and the Coral Snake Ministries in Florida, and Jerry Falwell, and Pat Robertson. Pat Robertson, who, of course, said on Sunday that Osama is nothing compared to a federal judge when it comes to terrorism. Now, New Jersey Senator Frank Lautenberg sent him a letter today demanding that he retract his statements, and he used a phrase. He said, I'm shocked that a man of such deep faith as you would, blah, 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 blah. But that's the key. When we're talking about Pat Robertson, we're talking about a man of no faith, or whose faith is, at the very least, geared toward the real hatred. I mean, again, we're talking about a guy who believes that one of these days Jesus is going to show up and let him kill him some Jews. And I'm not kidding. You think I'm kidding? I'm not kidding. But Frank Lautenberg sent him that letter. You know, won't you please, pretty please, you know, there we go. There we go again, trying to be reasonable with the stump liquor bunch. No, they come up and they mash you in the mouth and they wait to see what you're going to do, see if you'll fight back or sing Kumbaya. We've got the Kumbaya thing down pat. But anyway, I have been wandering by these websites. I just wanted to check, you know, after Robertson's comments about those activist judges, I wanted to check and see if there was any comment there. Yeah, you remember when I told you about Sun Hudson during the whole Terry Schiavo foo-frah, and how Sun Hudson was unplugged, disconnected from life support, despite the cries and pleas of his mother, because of the law that George Bush signed in, what, 1997, 1999, allowing hospitals to disconnect ill people. Throw it around a little bit, Jesse. Tear it up. It's paid for. Allowing Texas hospitals to disconnect ill people when they didn't have enough money to continue paying for their care. You remember that, don't you? Sure you do. Well, they disconnected Sun Hudson. Sun Hudson has gone on to his reward. And this was even before the Terry Schiavo nightmare began. Well, there's another chance. There's another chance for the culture of life, which, of course, is a big, sick, twisted, obscene joke to begin with. Another chance for the culture of life to jump out there. And it's another one of those real hear the crickets kind of moments. There's a 5-month little old little girl. Her name is Mia Dismute Howard. And she's got leukemia. She was diagnosed with leukemia just weeks after her birth. She's been through a number of different medical treatments. She's gotten an infection. She is, to the extent that you can tell this about a five-month-old, she's fully cognizant. Her brain is fully intact. And her mother said her mind is fully there. She knows when we're there. I can't give up because she won't give up. She is at Memorial Hermann Hospital in Houston, Texas, of course. And the officials at Memorial Hermann Hospital of Houston, Texas have said, "Lady, we don't care about your damn baby. We're unplugging her. She's gonna die because you're black and you're poor and you can't afford the treatment. Your baby dies." Now, that being the case, the question arises, doesn't it? Where is Focus on the Family? Where is Randall Terry and Operation Rescue? Where is Pat Robertson? Where is Jerry Falwell? For God's sakes, where is Sean Hannity took his show on the road to Pinellas Park, Florida, or wherever it was? Where are they? They're certainly not camped outside Memorial Hermann Hospital in Houston, Texas, demanding that Memorial Hermann Hospital reverence the culture of life for a little five-month-old black baby. Her mother said, "It's about knowing your child and knowing when they're tired and when they can't go anymore." And they say right now they're focused on finding another facility to care for their daughter. Legal experts say the court system could be a final resort. They're desperately trying to find a place that is willing to accept this child. Not a finger is being raised by the Southern Baptist Church. Not a finger is being raised by Focus on the Family. No voice is being given to the voiceless by the Family Research Council. It is still and it is quiet, and you can hear the crickets. And for this reason, I can tell you with no doubt in my mind whatsoever that all of these groups and the right-wing religion industry in general is dead. I've told you before, I will tell you again, the right-wing religion industry is dead. It is morally, ethically dead. It is putrid, and little flies are erupting out of its mortified flesh. The right-wing religion industry is dead. Anything that will come out and raise Cain for a brain-dead 40-year-old but will not speak up for a five-month-old infant is dead. Dead, 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 dead. I could raise my voice. I could carry on. What's the point? I don't run around screaming at funerals, but this is proof that the right-wing religion industry is stone dead, if not in the active service of the evil one. Okay? Kenia Dismute Howard will die soon, because she's little, she's black, and she doesn't wallow in horse gagging loads of Republican religion industry money, and she doesn't have a set of parents who are willing to trot themselves out and prostitute themselves in the national media like the Schindlers did, and it is all quiet in the fundamentalist theocracy camp. And little Nia Dismute Howard struggles for life. And as far as Republicans are concerned, she struggles in silence. She struggles in vain. Pay attention. She'll be most likely gone to her reward soon, just like Sun Hudson. And the silence from the religion industry will be deafening. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
I'm looking at the weather, offering to make it better now. I don't mean to fear seduction in the price of heat, but all the people living in your image see them starving on their feet, cause they don't get enough to eat. Oh, me,
where there's a tornado,
where there's a forest fire,
when Mother Nature is at her worst,
where there's a search
and there's a rescue,
where there are Americans in need,
when disaster strikes,
or one volunteer force
helping each other and simply doing what needs to be done,
we are the Civil Air Patrol,
the official auxiliary of the U.S. Air Force.
To join, call 1-800-FLY-2338
or log on to the World Wide Web at www.cap.gov.
For 25 years, he's been barking out tips on keeping streets safe. Welcome, McGruff Pond Dog. So, what advice do you have for us today?
Hello?
Oh, what, you got a little stage fright there?
No, that's my tip for people who want to get involved.
Really?
Start by saying hi to your neighbors. From there, it's an easy step to keeping informed about what's going on in your neighborhood. Who's coming? Who's going? Who's that bald guy with a mustache?
Huh? Hey, that's my producer.
That mustache looks fake.
Really?
I mean, if something in your neighborhood looks suspicious, talking to neighbors helps. It puts everyone on the lookout, and that can reduce crime.
Uh-huh. So the best way to keep my car from getting stolen is to say, nice haircut, to Mr. Resnick next door.
Sure, if it's true.
Well, it's not.
If you're concerned about crime, open up to your neighbors and say, hello. Oh, and goodbye.
Wow, another tip?
No, we're out of time.
Oh.
Let's learn more at WePrevent.org.
A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, Crime Prevention Coalition of America, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
So, Kristen, how was Esther's baby shower?
Oh, great.
Yeah?
You know it's a girl, right?
Oh, wow. What's her name?
It's one of those names.
Excuse me?
You know, one of those names. Shakita, Juanita, Jaquita. Why do black people like those kinds of names anyway? They just make it harder on themselves, you know what I mean?
No, Kristen. I don't know what you mean.
Imagine the power of one voice. Find your voice at freedomcenter.org. A message from the National Underground Railroad Freedom Center and the Ad Council.
You can be right and be wrong, or be left and be right. Head On with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 21 and a half minutes after 7 o'clock. I'm Bob. This is Head On. I should let you know, for those of you who don't know, the phone number is 252-6200. That's in the local area. If you're outside the local area, for heaven's sake, let us pay the freight. And that number is 800-620-620, just like the frequency, 9967, which conveniently spells WWNR on your telephone keypad. We stream live for you every night on the Internet at www.wnrnewstalk620.com. Got it? Good. Because you can go through that website to the portal to my website, headonradio.com, and I maintain there for you, free of charge to you, message boards in which you can participate. You can get in and fight over the issues of the day, defend your position. You know, it's I maintain that site in large part as it's kind of like boot camp for liberals. We got to learn to quit singing Kumbaya and start smash mouthing back. And that's what it's there for. It's free. Register, sign on, and get into the fight. Because if you don't, well, the consequences of not learning to fight are almost too dire to comprehend. You can also send an email at that site, too, bob@headonradio.com. We make it easy. Everything but smoke signals. Let's go to the phones. Urochneal is with us. Hey, Urochneal, you're Head On.
Hello.
How you doing?
Oh, I'm trying to move on up, you know.
To the east side.
Yeah, I'm trying to elevate myself.
Good.
Because I don't know if people realize it, but we're down. And I'm not one to stay. I've never sang Kumbaya. I don't even know what it means.
Yeah, well.
I don't even know what language it is.
It's sort of a pidgin English.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's supposedly an African missionary spiritual.
Well,
it's a.
I guess if they've been singing Kumbaya, I guess they would have to, you know, learn how to be more aggressive, you know, but not me.
Okay.
You know, I've never been that type of person. I've never been.
You get out there, you rock mill. You get out there and you call wrong when you see it.
Yeah, I'm saying I've never been a passive, you know.
Right.
I've never been a passive type. I've never been unrestrained. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I try to be temperate, but see, you have to. You know, speaking of Pat Robertson.
Yeah.
I thought it'd be interesting to see how Pat Robertson, who is to some extent speaks for or represents a conservative Republican America.
Absolutely.
Is he unpatriotic, or does he have to go to live in another country for saying the following things? Our foreign debt dwarfs that of the debtor nations of Mexico, Brazil, and Argentina. America is number one in the world in the category of debt owed. We excel in other categories as well. We have the highest rate of illiteracy of any developed nation, the highest rate of violent crime and juvenile delinquency, the highest rate of teenage pregnancy. 6 times that of Denmark and 3 times that of Sweden. Yikes, well, I would want to compete with Denmark and Sweden. You know how liberal they are.
Well, I know, and I mean, they're evil.
Listen to this. We have the highest rate of illegal drug use in the world, and next only to France. Now, there's 2 countries that nobody can ever beat when it comes to this. Next to France and the Soviet Union, the highest rate of alcohol consumption and alcoholism. Of course, wine and vodka, you know, we could never drink as much as they do.
No.
Because they're champions at it. But all I can say is, if I said this, or you said this, we would be unpatriotic.
Oh.
And we'd have to go to another country. I don't mind him saying it. I'm glad that he's saying these things. I find it. I got this book, The New Millennium. I'm trying to, you know, find out what he says. I don't consider Pat Robertson to be all bad. But there's a lot wrong with him.
Well, you haven't read enough then.
Well, maybe I'm still trying to find out, and no one has told me yet. Because I'm just not going to spend time with this. I can't afford to. But that line where he claims that they're going to put the Jews to the sword, whoever that's going to be, which is no such verse in the Bible. But I'd still like to know. If anyone can verify for me.
Well, find anywhere that he talks about the end times.
I'm looking at some of his writings.
This Darby-esque rapture garbage that has nothing to do with the Bible. It was invented by an English charlatan of the 19th century.
Well, pardon me, but for about 1900 years, we've had people reading into the Bible things that have nothing to do with the Bible, so
well, that's
it's part of the tradition.
Well, yeah, and I mean they didn't need the Darby stuff to start pogroms or declare that the Jews were poisoning the wells during the Black Death and go out and kill a few thousand. You know, from the first moment, or whoever the first person was who read that chunk of that section of the New Testament. Where during the Passion, was it one of the members of the Sanhedrin that says, then let his death be upon our heads? You know what I'm talking about? From that point forward, there's always been a good excuse to go out and whomp a few Jews.
So let his blood be on our hands and the hands of our children.
Right, exactly.
That was said by a very small elite group of people. Known as the Sadducees,
right? Okay.
Who no longer exist because the Sadducee religion did not believe in the rabbinical interpretation of the Bible, and they were the powerful elite. Josephus describes them as being somewhat, you know, barbaric, immoral, you know, the town bosses, so to speak.
Right.
And the thing is, if you read the text carefully, by the time they got to Pilate, there were no Pharisees there.
Right.
The Pharisees were there in the Sanhedrin because they had to be, just like Republicans and Democrats have to be in the Congress.
Correct.
But if you read exactly which people wanted to frame him and which people, you know, went to Pilate, you know, who did what, and I don't want to go into details, but I could probably write a whole book about this.
But it's
clear that the rabbis were, yes, they were, they did try to find fault in him, they did try to incriminate him, but they weren't able to. because he kept on arguing with them. You know how the rabbis are. If you can argue with a rabbi, he'll let you go.
Yeah, right.
You know, because the rabbis were legitimate and ethical, but they still considered him a threat. But at least they had the decency to do the right thing. Whereas the Sadducees pretty well did whatever, like the Republicans, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever the heck they wanted to do, they found a way to do it.
If it met their political goals, then they would...
Yeah, don't worry about the law, the ethics, you know, that's no problem. So the Pharisees, they had their fault. Jesus said, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees, the scribes and the Pharisees, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. But he never mentioned unless your righteousness exceeds the Sadducees.
Right.
He didn't have any.
Well, but the point there is that there has always been someone out there willing to find some little chunk of the New Testament as an excuse to kill off a few Jews.
Well, I know as a Jew, let me tell you, I know somebody called up a different program and said, oh, they don't want to shove anything down anybody's throat. Listen, let me tell you something. I know what they want. You know, and I know from experience, and you may have seen this yourself, if you're a Jew, I've been in situations where I never told people whether I believed in Jesus or not, you know what I mean?
Right.
Just I had them guessing. What did they, it's mostly verbal. You know, sometimes they'll throw stones at a kid or something because he wears a yarmulke, you know, stuff like that, call him a Christ killer. That does happen. But usually, you know, with older people and they start talking, they bully you socially and verbally. They try to bully you into believing. I mean, could you imagine Jesus bullying somebody into believing in his doctrine? Could you imagine?
No, no, not exactly.
But the thing is, I'm asking you, I'm open-minded. I'm surprised to hear that Pat Roberts is, I really am surprised because I have listened to him sometimes. I have read a little bit, you know, and I do have a list of problems with Pat Robertson. You know, he does have his faults, but that to me is not in line with everything else I've heard him say. And I'd like for somebody to verify it.
Well,
that really is very important to me because you see, it's incriminating.
I've seen interviews with him, Yerachmiel, where he said it. Okay. I'll try to find it in a text.
You know,
form.
It's hard. The problem is, it's hard to get in touch with the 700 club. It's hard to get. You know, you should be able to call them up and get the information from them.
No.
But you can't.
No, the only reason you can call the 700 club is to donate money, especially little old granny ladies giving up a chunk of their Social Security. Yerachmiel, we got to roll on. Thanks so much.
Good night.
You too. Bye now. Okay, and when we come back, more of your calls to 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Dietary guidelines from the U.S. Department of Agriculture emphasize fruits and vegetables, as well as a lot of exercise. That'll be our focus on today's edition of On the Farm Radio. I'm Jeff Ishii.
We do a lot of body clipping, and wall clippers are the best for that.
Amy Feed, Lonesome Dove Stables, Dunlap, Tennessee.
You don't want a clipper that runs hot. It's uncomfortable, and it slows you down. Wall clippers run cooler, so I can go from the horse's body to his face to his bridle pack to his fetlocks.
See the full line of wall corded and cordless electric clippers at your local tax store or online at valleyvet.com.
We know we can depend on wall.
Wall clippers, strong, stable.
If you're one of the millions of Americans fighting a sometimes losing battle with your weight, one nutrition expert at Penn State University's College of Agriculture says you can start the road to better health by following the latest USDA dietary guidelines. Chuck Gill has this report.
Released earlier this year, the new dietary guidelines place a new emphasis on physical activity, calling for up to 90 minutes a day of exercise to lose or maintain weight and at least 30 minutes a day to reduce the risk of chronic disease. Penn State Cooperative Extension registered dietitian Mary Alice Gettings says the new guidelines also increase the recommended intake of whole grains as well as fruits and vegetables.
Instead of eating 5 servings of fruits and vegetables per day, we're really looking to increase that number to about 9 servings per day. Most Americans get less than 2 or 3 servings per day, and if you take French fries out of that, they probably get 1 serving of vegetable a day, so we have a lot of work to do.
Gettings says 1 serving of fruits or vegetables is only half a cup, so working 9 servings into your diet isn't as hard as it sounds. From Penn State, I'm Chuck Gill.
Hey everybody, this is Toby Keith for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. As a performer, I've had, thankfully, many moments to celebrate. When you celebrate, designate. Always choose a designated driver.
A reminder that friends don't let friends drive drunk. Public service message brought to you by the Ad Council, U.S. Department of Transportation, National Association of Broadcasters, and RAD.
Taking a quick look at our ag calendar, don't forget the big 32nd annual Maryland Sheep and Wool Festival is coming up this weekend. That'll be Saturday and Sunday, May 7th and 8th at the Howard County Fairgrounds at West Friendship, Maryland. It's the 32nd annual Maryland Sheep and Wool Festival coming up this weekend. Our pearl of wisdom today comes in from the Volunteer State and listener Buddy Hammond, who says, when you wallow with the pigs, just expect to get dirty. Thanks to Buddy Hammond of Johnson City, Tennessee, for that pearl of wisdom. You're on the farm, and I'm Ish.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham.
And I'm Jesse Russell.
4 of the unions pushing AFL-CIO reform want their members' names deleted from the AFL-CIO's master mailing list of 13 million union households. The AFL-CIO told Workers Independent News that political director Karen Ackerman did get a letter telling the AFL-CIO to delete the more than 4 million members of the Teamsters, SEIU, Laborers, and Unite Here. A union official who asked to remain anonymous says these unions have been the backbone of labor's political effort, and yet they were not consulted in Las Vegas before the AFL-CIO's political program was proposed. These unions want affiliate unions to be in on the Labor Federation's political planning. They also want the membership data that has been collected by the AFL-CIO about their members, but not shared with the unions. Our source says the unions want complete control over their membership lists, but they'll continue to support labor's political mobilization. The AFL-CIO had no comment other than to say that they're looking into the matter.
As the deadline for a nationwide healthcare laundry strike looms, Angelica Textile Service workers have received endorsements of solidarity from the Teamsters and the Service Employees International Union. Represented by Unite Here, the Angelica workers are seeking better working conditions. Workers say they often work with blood and human excrement and are not given the proper protection. At a rally last week in Los Angeles, Christina Vasquez, vice president of Unite's Western States Joint Board, gave an example of what the workers experience.
If a worker works in the soil department where they have to deal with hospital linen, the workers have to have a vaccine, the hepatitis B. They don't do this, and a lot of workers end up with infections.
7 plants across the country are striking, including a non-union plant in Durham, North Carolina. According to Amanda Cooper, spokesperson for Unite, the Durham plant is going on strike because of unfair labor practices.
They've had discharges and they've had all kinds of problems in the shop, people getting, you know, work assignments changed, schedules changed, all kinds of things because of the support of the union.
Cooper adds that the support of the Teamsters and the SEIU could have a major impact on facilities that contract Angelica.
Teamsters and the SEIU workers have rights to respect those picket lines, and we have every reason to believe that they will in a way that could definitely affect service at hospitals.
Here's today's DelBob report. In the U.S., more than 1/4 of working families are low income, defined as a family of 4 with an income of $36,000 or less. Median income for a U.S. family of 4 is $62,000. According to Working Hard, Falling Short, a report done in the fall of 2004, 1 in 5 jobs in the U.S. pays less than a poverty-level wage for a family of 4. Greater education investments and a conscious social effort to raise wages and create higher-wage jobs are among the recommendations in the report to address the problem of America's working poor families. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
WWNR Beckley.
Shining a liberal light in the conservative darkness, Bob Kincaid, head on.
Welcome back. 21 and a half minutes before the hour here at Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. I love the way you guys read my mind. I've got my little stack of stuff, and I'm trying to get through it, and I get this email from a concerned RN who shall remain nameless, and it begins, Bob! I wonder what your listeners think about the recent issue regarding the Bar H nurses, Beckley Appalachian Regional Hospital nurses, informational rally, and the suspensions they were given. Did you hear about this? These nurses held an informational rally just to let people know that Beckley Appalachian Regional Hospital is understaffed. And the emailer goes on, these nurses are looking out and fighting for your rights and others when it comes to the care given in the hospital. When you or your loved one's life is in their hands, please ask callers, you're being asked, please ask callers for their feelings on this issue and to support these nurses. If anyone can stir it up for Beckley, it's you. It's their lives we're fighting for, the patients. And sadly, it may possibly be their jobs they're fighting for as well. They are apparently hanging the balance because they exercise their right to free speech. Thanks, concerned RN. Thank you. And I'm glad you beat me to the punch. This is a disturbing story. Oh, what, nine nurses, I believe? Nine nurses were suspended and will have admonitions placed in their files. They lost a day of benefits. They lost a day of accumulated work. They lost a day's pay because they dared come out and declare that the emperor has no clothes. This is becoming a trend. Whether it's people who try to go to presidential informational town hall meetings and are turned away because of a bumper sticker or hassled by a fake secret service agent, or whether it's a couple of years ago the Dixie Chicks getting their albums burned for daring to criticize the government in this filthy little war in Iraq, or maybe it's maybe what we've got here. Some nurses who actually give a damn about what they do, who understand that they're holding holding people's little beating hearts in their hands and fearing for the quality of care that people receive and daring to speak up, and they get rat slapped. Shut up! Sit down!
By God, we administer this hospital and we'll tell you when it's time for you to talk and when it's not. And if we want to hear from you, we'll let you know. Till then, you be little good nurses and go back to your stations and be quiet.
You know, that's a really filthy mindset. That's a really nasty mindset. Is it something you're willing to tolerate? Blech. And again, it's a worker issue. It's a labor issue. If you get paid by the hour or by the day and someone else writes you a check, you're a worker. And workers stand with workers, damn it. Not a country club, it's labor. You know, we're working people. We're not part of the caviar and lark's vomit canapé hummingbird tongue souffle crowd that buys $15,000 shower curtains and $10,000 umbrella stands. No, that's not us. We're beans and cornbread and damn proud of it. Was this even addressed on any of the other shows? I don't know. The phone number, of course, like I said before, 252-6200. Outside Beckley, toll-free, 800-620-WWNR-9967. Learn it, know it, use it. Jim's with us. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
Good evening, sir.
How are you?
Reasonably well.
I'm glad.
I spent the afternoon at the Greenbrier Nursery.
Really?
Uh-huh. You know, Appalachian spring is surpassed only by one type of spring, and that's the spring you find in Russia.
Well, okay.
You can almost literally hear the ground crack.
I would imagine that's true.
And it was just an absolutely fabulous place to visit.
Oh, I bet it is.
I mean, fabulous. I mean, it's really incredible. It's one of Beckley's best things that you can see. And I just thought I would begin on that positive note. A couple things I'd like to discuss, if I may, please, sir.
Jump right in.
As far as Jesus Christ is concerned, I don't think he was he meant words with a lot of people, and to a lot of people, he was a bully. I mean, to the people who were condemning that woman that they were about to stone, I'm sure some of them considered him a bully, and I'm sure some of the money changers in the temple considered him a bully as well. You know what I mean?
Well, and there was...
He didn't put up any crap from anybody.
That was not a nice day in the temple.
Pardon me, sir?
That wasn't a nice day in the temple.
Well, it wasn't a nice day for a lot of people who were taking advantage of a lot of individuals, and he realized that, you know, what was a place of worship had become a den of thieves.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like, you know, parts of our own government.
Yeah, it is kind of familiar, isn't it?
Well, that's what I liked it to one time. The halls of our nation had become a den of thieves. And, you know, referring to K Street and things like that. But anyway, just moving on, I don't want to be too desultory here because I sound like I'm nuts. And I sound like I'm nuts half the time when I'm on there anyway, right?
So far you're plenty sane.
Well, thank you. I know. You put up with a lot for me, and I appreciate it. I have a small book in my hand. It's called The Sayings of the Washukov.
Okay.
Are you familiar with this man?
I should be.
He was basically an aphorist. He wrote epigrams. And he was a very wise, a very cynical person.
Frenchman?
Right, during the time of Louis XIV.
Is he the same one that came up with the pendulum?
No, that's Foucault.
Okay.
This is La Rochefoucauld. But he said, and there are two things that I just wanted to share. He said, first, the same pride that makes us condemn those faults we think we lack leads us to scorn the good qualities we fail to possess. And the next one is this, and this sort of hit me right between the eyes, as far as American adventurism in different parts of the world. There is often more pride than kindness in our pitying the misfortunes of our enemies. We give them proofs of our own compassion to bring home to them our superiority.
Wow, and how many years ago was that?
It was written, he lived between the years of, let me see, my friend. Let me whip this thing out. Oh, okay, 1613 to 1680.
Yeah, that would be Louis XIV, wouldn't it?
Right. And, of course, he was an extremely wise man. The first time I ever heard reference made to him was in a James Bond movie when I think it was 007 Spall said to him, according to the Rush Recall, false humility is the highest form of conceit.
You know, I can certainly agree with that, and the previous quote is stunning for its futuristic prescience.
You mean the second one that I read?
Right.
There is more often pride than kindness, and our pitying the misfortunes of our enemies, we give them proofs of our compassion to bring home to them our superiority.
I mean, that just sounds like it, translated into a modern American, and welcome to Iraq.
Well, it kind of sort of reminded me of that. And, you know, I thought to myself, well, I thought I would just share this one. And there's something else that I've been meaning to share with you. And, you know, I wanted to do this when I was during the Terry Schiavo thing. And it has to do with honorable death. And it's the third point, the last point I'd like to make, if I may, please.
Go right ahead.
And this is about, I told you I've been reading some biographies, and I've read two biographies of George V. I love to read, Bob. It's the one of my eyeballs on turned stone at the side of the dust jacket.
I run out of reading material and start losing my mind, Jim. I understand from whence you come.
Well, the first biography is by Kenneth Rose, and the second one is a compendium called The Decline and Fall of the House of Windsor by Donald Spoto. And I found it on 252 of Spoto, and they were talking about the death of King George V. And I'll just read, if I may, what Lord Dawson, who was his personal physician, said.
Go ahead.
It was evident that the last stage might endure for many hours. Unknown to the patient, but little comporting with that dignity and serenity which he so richly merited and which demanded a brief final scene. Hours of waiting just for the mechanical end, when all that is really life is departed, only exhausts the onlookers and keeps them so strained that they cannot avail themselves of the solace of thought, communion, and prayer. I therefore decided to determine the end and injected 3 grams of morphine and shortly thereafter 1 gram of cocaine into the descending jugular vein. Intervals between respirations lengthened and life passed so quietly and gently that it was difficult to determine the actual moment.
How can you fault a person for that?
King George V's life, as Dawson wrote in the official bulletin for the London Times on January 20th, 1936, January 21st, the king's life has moved peacefully to its conclusion. You can't.
No, no. And you compare that with this poor little child in Houston that is going to be unplugged because of George's culture of life law in Texas because she's tiny and 5 months old and black and doesn't have money to pay for humongous medical expenses.
Is there any hope for this child?
She developed leukemia as a newborn. But yeah, there's hope for her. She went into remission once. She came out of it, and it's a matter of being willing to fight.
And there's hope for her at some of the children's hospitals that, like, I think it was a hospital that Danny Thomas.
St. Jude's. But the point here, Jim, is that George Bush signed a law into effect in Texas that says, hey, if you're poor and we decide that the care is futile, well, you know, dead baby walking. And there is no
all the money in Texas, and they can't spare enough money from some of those rich oil barons or whoever those people are to try to at least give one struggling child a chance at making it.
Right, and not a word from Focus on the Family, not a word from Donald Wildman, not a word from Operation Rescue and Randall Terry. You know, like I said, these right wing religion industrialists are morally and ethically dead. They're dead. I mean, they're nasty, bloated little corpses because all they're breeding is venom and hate for a political agenda. You know, they've taken the erstwhile noble message of Christ Jesus and rolled it in the filth and turned it into politics.
Well, that is indeed regrettable. But I'll tell you one thing. I would not trade places with any of those people, including Pat Robertson, for all the tea in Mexico.
No.
I would not care to have to answer for the stuff they're going to have to answer for and the false...
No, I wouldn't trade with him here on Earth because that man doesn't enjoy his existence.
You know, I don't know. Every time I hear him or see him or even his son, I feel like I need to take a shower.
That's about the size of it. Hey, Jim, I got to roll on.
Well, you keep on trucking.
I'm going to. Take care.
All right. Later, bud.
Later now. And let's see, keep it going with Cherie. Hey, Cherie, you're head on.
Good evening, Bob.
How are you?
I'm just fine. How are you?
Oh, pretty good.
I wanted to call on the Bar H deal.
Yeah?
You know, I no longer work in the substance abuse area or the mental health area, but I have.
Okay. Now, when I say Bar H, I'm just talking about...
Appalachian Regional Hospital.
Right. I mean, that's not just mental health issues, but go ahead. I shouldn't have interrupted.
Oh, that's fine. The nurses, when a nurse looks and is so desperate to tell you that she is understaffed, then, you know, people need to reach out. Call the administrator, 252-3532, you know. Call the administrator. Tell him that you think that the staffing needs to be what it should be in order to provide good health care.
Right.
Everybody's paying for it.
And, I mean, this is... now, I stand to be corrected if I'm wrong. This is a for-profit facility, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, it is.
And so if there aren't enough nurses, maybe the administrator could take a little pay cut. Oh, no!
Well, this is our home.
Sure.
And that hospital is there for a reason, and it's being utilized. you know, years ago you had Spencer State Hospital, you have Sharps, a couple other places.
Yeah, Weston, Huntington.
Exactly. And to be quite honest, they were brutal places.
They were warehouses.
Well, your family could look at you and say, you know, mom, dad, grandma, husband, wife, I think they're an alcoholic or there's something wrong with them, and they could commit you.
And away you go.
And away you go. And you stay there for as long as they wanted you to. The system is a very dangerous one. It's not just for the patients, but it's also for the staff.
Well, I mean, consider, and I can't speak with certitude on this, Cherie, but just in terms of the way many, many hospitals right now run, in order to sort of scrimp on labor, don't a lot of hospitals work nurses on a 12, 12, and 16 rotation where
yes,
they do 12 hours one day, 12 hours the next day, and 16 hours the day after that?
Yes, they do. And, you know, for all the people who holler, support our troops, okay, well, support your troops at home. You have law enforcement, you have nurses, you have firemen, you have people here that are right here putting their butts on the line for you every day.
But if you're doing that with a nursing staff, Cherie, if you're doing that with a nursing staff, by definition, are you not endangering the patients?
Well, I'm surprised that the labor board hasn't, you know, got into this.
I mean, it's
your forte. You need to be there.
It just amazes me, Cherie, the idea that...
wait a minute.
Yeah?
RNs don't belong to a union.
Do they not?
No, they don't.
It was my understanding from reading the news account today that they were part of some association, but I don't know.
They may be a part of an association. I don't think it's changed. The LPNs have a union.
Okay.
But, you know, I think that this RN speaking out and what they're doing is just terrific.
Yeah, I appreciate
job.
I appreciate it. I want... And you know, we rely in this society on people who are willing to do this so that we can know something about the truth. Because God knows if you turn on the TV, it's all Runaway Bride and Michael Jackson. And
well, I want people to think about this. They complain about the crack houses and the meth labs and all these different things. When someone's picked up and say they have involuntary commitment to the hospital for substance abuse, because I can assure you, you don't want somebody coming off of something like that in the mainstream at the regional jail, because they will kill someone. They go bananas.
I'll take your word for it.
You have to be brought down. You have to be treated. And without the hospitals, without the doctors, without the nurses, then you're not going to have that. And one day you might be walking down the street and the guy that you didn't stand up for the hospitals, for the nurses, for the people who do take care of you every day, whether you know it or not, this guy comes up and shoots you for what, $25?
$10, $5.
So, you know, think about the people who take care of you. Start standing up for them here at home.
I couldn't agree more.
Well, you have a good evening, Bob.
You too, Cherie. Good
Thank
to hear
you.
From you. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
And that takes us up to our break in front of the top of the hour news. If please stay online if you're on hold. A couple of lines open, 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. These people take care of you, your neighbors, your loved ones, your children, in the extremis of existence. You think you could bother yourself to jingle the phone at the administrator's office at Bar H and tell them to back off? Or are you too busy? I'm not too busy. I think I'll do that tomorrow. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Let's play Who Wants to Volunteer in Your Community. We'll start with Trenise from Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Wait, hold on. I didn't say I wanted to volunteer.
But you will, Trenise, because we know how much you can't stand your little brother.
That's true.
So we're giving you a little sister.
Oh, what?
here's your bratty little brother to tell you more.
You know you always wanted a little sister instead of me? Yeah.
Well, you can get a little sister when you volunteer in the Big Brother Big Sister program down at the community center.
Yeah, what he said.
Yeah, you two can go shopping together, see movies.
You stay far away from me.
You said that right.
Word. But I like the little sister thing.
To find more medical programs and other ways to volunteer in your community, log on to teensvolunteer.org. And join us next time for another episode of Who Wants to Volunteer in Your Community? Do what you like to do. Volunteer. A public service message brought to you by the USA Freedom Corps, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, and the Ad Council.
There's a resort called Give Kids the World where children with life-threatening illnesses can fill their week with pure joy. Kids and their families indulge in simple pleasures like swimming, visiting local Orlando theme parks, and eating unlimited ice cream, all for free. Call 800-995-KIDS or visit the Give Kids the World website at gktw.org and help give them a time to remember. Brought to you by Give Kids the World and the Ad Council.
Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history. Independent on News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. It's 8 o'clock.
Did you know your home can cause twice the greenhouse gases of your car? It's true. The good news is, you can help with Energy Star. The EPA urges you to take steps to reduce your home energy bills and make a big difference in the fight against air pollution. Visit EnergyStar.gov.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here's your forecast from the Weather Channel. Low pressure aloft continues to be slow to move east, so we'll continue with cloudy intervals tonight. Scattered frost is possible as well. Chilly lows into the low and mid-30s, in town around 34. 55 back tomorrow with increased sunshine. We'll throw in a beautiful Thursday. Partly cloudy with a 58. And if you like that, well, Friday's a gift. 66 and a partly cloudy afternoon.
WWNR, Beckley.
It's your second hour of the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
Yeah, welcome back. 6 minutes after 8 o'clock. I'm Bob. This is head-on. If there's anyone out there from the nursing community who has more insight into this issue, please feel free to speak your mind. I will let you be as anonymous as you want to be. Of course, we don't use last names around here anyway for the most part. So feel free to jump on in. Let's see. Straight to the phones. One line open, 252-6200. Outside, Beckley 800-620-9967. Now we've got Ed. Hey, Ed, you're head on.
How you doing this evening, Bob?
Doing good. Yourself, sir?
I'm doing real good, and I appreciate all the comments, and the especially the comments on charge, you know. I think it's about time the Democrats were angry and it's about time they were speaking up. But I've been told that I was an angry man, sort of.
Are you angry?
Am I angry? I need one of them machine guns Jeff was talking about. I'm not ready for that. But
I judge a man's temper by how he behaves on a golf course, Ed. I have seen you miss putts that you ought to make. And I've never heard the first foul word come out of your mouth.
Yeah.
To me, you're the soul of reason.
I talk to myself, Bob.
Well, as long as you're not talking back, I think you're okay.
Yeah. But I really think that until the Democrats get angry enough, that we're not going to get anywhere. And because it's obvious that the right-wing nuts, as you call them, are... They think they're on the roll, or they think they're charging. And so until we stand up to them and come back, you know, and get them back with their own work, we're not going to get anywhere.
Well, look, Ed, you're right. The right-wing nut thinks the world is its oyster right now, and they just want to shuck it.
Mm-hmm. But I wanted to comment on some other stuff, on this nursing thing. Do you know the real story on it?
Well, I mean, I know what I read.
Okay, well,
and that is that these nurses held an informational rally to speak to labor-related issues at Beckley Appalachian Regional Hospital, and that they were called in and suspended for it. They were all given a day's suspension and basically told to shut the hell up.
One day? Is that what the penalty was?
That's my understanding.
Okay, I was wondering, I was going to make some calls and get some informational pickets over there. My wife is an active RN, and you know something, Bob? To tell you the truth, part of it's their fault. They think they're so professional that they're above the union, and my wife don't, but she's not a leader in it, and I regret that because I was always an organizer, you know, whatever the right wing calls us, instigators, I guess.
Yeah, you're an instigator.
The lady described the nursing situation throughout this state, and they put out the word in some news thing there a while back that nursing had eased. Well, right now, my wife could work 16 hours a day, every day, if she could stand it. And the only reason that the nurses has got the four-hour break between 16-hour shifts. And that, in other words, they could get home and call them right back. Well, now, we made some calls to Randy White and a couple people like that, and they got a bill through, which still ain't worth a dime, that they have to give them a four-hour break between 16-hour shifts. That ain't no good. If a person has to drive 1 hour and 15 minutes to work, which my wife does, by the time they get home and get laid down,
it's time to go again.
They really need, they need laws to protect them. But on this thing over there, I would take that to no end. I wouldn't lose one penny over that. That's what the labor board is for,
even though
the women have got to realize that these people who are on that labor board is appointed by...
Well, but we've got a top-notch labor commissioner right now. We really do, unless something has happened.
You mean on the National Labor Relations Board?
No. On the state board.
Oh, okay.
We've got a good guy there. I hope they will push this because you know what, this is more than my God, this is people's lives. And you know, you talk about 4 hours between 16-hour shifts. Hell, truckers and airline pilots have to be 24 hours from bottle to throttle.
Yeah, and they only got a chance of killing themselves and maybe one more. These nurses, when they go out like that, they could get medicines mixed up right on down the line.
And we're not hammering the nurses, Ed.
Yeah, and that's where it all winds up. It's the nurses' fault.
But the thing is, this is because of look, we are dealing with an absolutely shattered, broken, for-profit healthcare system.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason you've got 16-hour shifts is because the broken, shattered, for-profit healthcare system likes it that way. Because if they can get one person to work a 16-hour shift, that means that's half as many people. That's two. That is the 8-hour shift of two working human beings.
And that takes away all the insurances they have to pay. That takes the holidays away from somebody. That's the cheapest way to go, and they kill these nurses at it. And lady, my wife has spoken out on. I mean, she don't mind, and you know, she don't have to work really. But and when they say something to her about having to work over to finish a job or something, she lets them know right quick. And I'm proud of her for that. But I still think they should get off of that kick. They ain't nobody professional if you draw an hourly wage. You ain't no professional.
That's true.
And that's where a lot of people come from, but. I just really appreciate your earlier comments about, you know, coming on out and saying what needs to be said. And I want that number at the Bar H.
I wish I'd written it down. We'll look it up and,
I want the administrator's office.
Well, I'm sure it's easy enough to get. That administrator needs a bunch of phone calls.
Yeah. If that lady will, I'll be listening, and a couple other friends is listening, too. We need to do that. And you know, as far as I'm concerned, anything that any work that I have to have done physically or whatever, it won't be done there. I mean, just on their actions right there until they make a public apology. But the main thing, informational pickets, if it's your own on your own time, is legal. If they was on their lunch hour or whatever, that is legal to do that.
Yeah, or their day off or whatever.
Yeah. And, we're getting right back to, you know, like Virginia and some of these other states. And, somebody called me and told me that there was a right to work law thing on one of the programs this morning. I would have liked to have heard it, but I can't stand to listen to the guy.
It was pretty good.
I would love to hear, I'd love to get my rebuttals on it and tell them it's a right to work law, for, a right to work for less, and that if it's so good, it sure can't be for the workers. It's for the companies, and it's so obvious that the right to work is not a good thing for working people, and if there's ever somebody should be speaking out, and I know some of the reasons they don't, it is the coal miners. All of them. They should be raising cane on it. But you know what, Bob? There's so many people that don't know about this program.
Oh, I know.
I mean, they don't know about no matter which one they want to listen to. It just absolutely, and I'll pay for a half-page advertisement.
Well, by golly, I'll take you up on it.
Well, you got it. Just having to put it in there on yours and Dr. Beal's.
Okay.
You just, when you get it done, just tell me what the bill is.
All right, we'll get together. We'll talk a little bit about that.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
If anything else, well, give me a holler.
All right. You take care now, Ed.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Keep fighting.
Oh, you bet. I ain't dead yet.
That's right.
All right. See you later.
Later now. Okay. Time for our quarter hour break. So let's do that. And when we come back, who knows? This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
The 12th Annual Beckley Raleigh County Chamber of Commerce Business Show, with over 75 business exhibits on display. Find out what businesses have to offer in Beckley Raleigh County. Network with area business representatives and take advantage of many business show special offers. Free admission, free parking, store prize drawings, exhibitor drawings and giveaways. Thursday, May 5th, 10 a.m. till 5 p.m. Support the Beckley Raleigh County Chamber of Commerce members. They support your community. For more information, call 252-73.
I'm Mesa Leek, and I want to tell you about the history of jazz. Not the beautiful American music that I love to sing, but my beautiful son named Jazz. He was born 15 weeks premature, fragile, and weighing barely 2 pounds while I was on tour in Japan. Jazz finally came home after months in the hospital, but then he was infected with a virus called RSV. I had never heard of RSV, but quickly learned that while it's a common virus, usually amounting to little more than a cold in healthy kids, for premature infants and other at-risk children, RSV can be life-threatening. Fortunately, there are ways to help prevent RSV in premature children, and that's the future of jazz. To learn more, call 1-877-848-8512. That's 1-877-848-8512. Or visit www.marchofdimes.com.
Hi, Dad. I'm home. Sorry about the car.
It's okay. It doesn't look as bad as it sounded on the phone.
Dad, what's wrong with your voice?
Well, since you called, I've spent the last 20 minutes in the bathroom yelling to get it out of my system.
Patience. Use it before you lose it. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For practical ideas you can use in your family, visit family.mormon.org.
Here's Bob Kincaid.
head on.
Welcome back. 18 and a half minutes after 8 o'clock. I went low-tech on this one. Instead of running off to the Internet, I went to the phone book instead. And there are there's a good 15, 20 different phone numbers for Beckley ARH Hospital. Curiously, none of them are administration. So I suggest, well, one, they don't want to hear from you. Two, the main number is 255-3000, 255-3000. That should get you a switchboard. You tell them you want the administrator's office, and, well, you know, don't be mean. Don't be nasty. You know, we're the smart people. We don't have to, resort to threats like the Republicans and the right-wingers do. We just say, look, we believe in working people. And you abusing working people for trying to educate the public is unacceptable. And we will not do business with your for-profit facility until such time as you remedy the situation by removing these suspensions from these nurses' records and make sure that there's no reflection in any of their files. Otherwise, well, you never know. Because, see, that's what a sovereign does. That is what a person who is in him or herself sovereign and subject to no liege lord, no crown, and bows no knee of fealty to any person. That's what you do. If you feel like you need to stand up for your neighbor, well, by God, you stand up and you don't even need a wheelbarrow to help you do it. You just stand up and you pick up the phone and you call them, 255-3000. You don't have to mention my name. Just say, hey, look, I heard what you're doing to those nurses who had that informational rally. And it's unacceptable. Okay, can you do that? Urockmeal is with us and has been holding for a while. He had another comment. Hey, Urockmeal, your head on. Urockmeal.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm trying to get some, turn up the volume here a little bit.
Okay.
So I can hear you. It's trouble on my end. I keep going to have to turn the volume up on this little contraption. It's on the phone, but I don't know why it goes down, but it goes down by itself. It's automatic. But I wanted to respond about bullying.
Yeah.
You know, when somebody tells people the truth, no matter how hard it is, you know, when you tell people the truth, sometimes they hit a bad nerve.
No, that's true.
That's not bullying.
Well, you know, I remember.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do follow what you're saying.
If you get together with a group of people and you shame somebody and you ridicule somebody and you personally attack somebody because he doesn't believe in your religion, that's not preaching.
Well, and we can take it, we can make it perhaps a little even more comprehensible. Insofar as if you go back to the grand old days of Harry Truman, you're well familiar with him, I'm sure.
Yeah, I was born in 1950, but I learned about him later on.
Okay.
You know, when I grew up.
Well, what happened? They had a saying or a phrase. They'd see Harry Truman come out and they'd say, "Give him hell, Harry," because he would speak truth. And he would speak it right in the teeth of the power that opposed him.
Wait a minute, his name was Truman, wasn't it?
Yeah, but they'd say, "Give him hell, Harry." And one day he said, "Listen, I don't give him hell. I just give him the truth, and they stink. They think it's hell."
Right.
And I think that's kind of what we're talking about.
Yeah, and you know, if a police officer uses force to prevent somebody from doing the wrong thing, that's not bullying. If Jesus drives people out of the temple who are defiling the temple, they are the bullies.
Yeah.
You know, Well, I'm just going from my experience. There's like adolescents, they're like a bunch of adolescents who get together and, you know, give each other a lot of approval. The Jews, they go, "The Jews this and the Jews that and the rabbi," you know, and can you imagine what it's like to be one person amongst several people and they're jumping all over you and ridiculing you, which, you know what I mean? The Jews this and the Jews that, you know what I mean? And of course, I don't know, but speaking of Jews, for a long time, I wanted to say this. Now, the word Jew comes from the tribe of Judah.
Correct. Yeah, right.
Judahite.
Mm-hmm.
The Judahite, I guess, is too much. You see, as bad as the Nazis were, they called the Jews by their right name, which is Yud.
Yeah, Juden.
Yeah, Juden. But a Yud is singular, you know, and Paul Juden. But the thing is, the English language has a tendency to shorten things. I don't know if it was meant disparagingly, But if you can call a Judahite or a Judean a Jew, you can call a Japanese a Jap. And you,
now,
does that mean, huh?
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
And does that mean, I don't want to go into other names, but, you know, about Italians and blacks and so on, and, you know, and Hispanics. They have names, too, that people call them, nicknames, shortenings, or usually nicknames that are not very nice or mispronunciations. But what I'm saying is they're so fussy now about what they say about the black people, but the people are too ignorant to know about others. You know what I mean? It's like...
Well, you know, where the and I don't mean to cut you off, but where the Arabs are concerned.
Arabs.
Well, not just that, but some of it, Yerachmiel, there's an inherent racism involved. For instance, if you hear someone, you know, say some skinhead, say something nasty about a Jewish person, okay, then the proper response is to say that that skinhead is being anti-Semitic. But that is, that word has also been corrupted to a certain extent, because to be anti-Semitic is to be opposed to all people of Semite extraction, and that is not the sole province of the Jews.
Well, the whole game, let me answer this game.
I mean, Arab...
Okay, can I contribute? I'm going to contribute something here.
Go ahead.
Okay, the Jewish people are not known as Semites in the, you know, in the world of popular, you know, misconceptions until it's time to talk about the negative side, which is anti-Semite.
Right.
But on the positive side, people would like to see them as, you know, a European people who merely have a Semitic background, but have been assimilated into the European American, you know, Anglo identity. So that's why they keep it out of the way until it's time to talk about the negative side. And as far as the Arabs are concerned, they're trying to demonize them as some bunch of weird creatures who don't have any kind of. In other words, they've uprooted the Arabs from their identity,
right,
in order to demonize them as some kind of weird race of people.
But when we talk, and some of this is artificial, I suppose, to one degree or another, anytime you talk about race, but you know, when you talk about Semites, you're talking about Jews, you're talking about Palestinians, you're talking about Arabs, the people of that particular area, as opposed to what, Indian Aryans and yada yada yada.
And how about Iranian not being Arabs and all that?
Right, so. the Iranians are Persians and the Persians are Aryans.
Yeah, so in other words, they hate their own relatives.
Oh,
well, they're all relatives, but they hate Aryans who are not Western Aryans.
Well, and that's one of the key fact that, you know, we are so painfully ignorant of the Muslim world, Yerachmiel.
Well, hey, wait a minute. I thought we were ignorant of our own world.
Well, okay, let's just say we're painfully ignorant. But in that particular, you know, there's always been a dynamic of tension between Persian or Iranian Muslims and traditional Arabic Mesopotamian Muslims, because there's a racial cultural superiority, because that's the land of Muhammad itself, and they tend to look down their noses at the Iranians. And as a concept, you know,
there's racism.
Oh,
yeah, it's there. I've heard some black Muslim once told me, says, oh, when they come here from Arabia, Saudi Arabia, he feels like they exclude him, they look down at them, you know. At the blacks, that kind of uppity.
Yeah, and there's a nose looking down-ism at, say, Malaysian Muslims.
Right.
But you know, we've got this definitional thing going on where if you say Muslim, you picture an Arab.
Well, right.
That's just so clearly wrong.
Well, it's very expedient. I mean, it. You know,
I mean, that's like saying Catholic, and I have to think of an Italian, mm-hmm. or an Irishman, or
right.
when it's cross cultural, and so many of the criticisms that we levy at Islam are actually cultural things that have nothing to do with anything going in the Quran.
Well, by the way, I didn't get a chance. There's so much to talk about. Lately, I don't know if you like this, but I'm going to be frank with you. I'm into Revelation, but you know, not like other people are. Certainly much, you know, I try to, I just found in chapter 17 a perfect analogy to what's going on now. You've got,
go ahead.
You've got the materialism, and I think the 10 kings are the ones who get together with one mind, material, you know, the material global society, you know, mm-hmm. kingdoms, And then the horns on the beast represent, those are the ones who hated the Whore of Babylon. This Whore of Babylon, you know, is this filthy global economy with all its filth, but they're attached to the beast. They're the ten horns. In other words, the terrorists, they're not separate. They're part of the same materialism. It's just that they hate that whore.
Well, the thing,
you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do follow what you're saying.
In other words, they have not become spiritual people. And it says the Lamb will overcome them. It doesn't say that it'll come with an army. It says the Lamb...
Right, you've got to go to Derby to get all the real good, gory, put them to the sword stuff.
Well, unfortunately, I just used my intelligence, but what I'm saying is that, you know, the Lamb is the innocent ones will be saved. It doesn't say they'll overcome him with them with an army. It just says that they will, you know, overcome them, the faithful, something about, you know, their faith with the faithful. But I just see the whole scenario painted, you know, it's all painted up very, there are the materialists, the worldwide, you know, global materialism, and, which is pretty much what the Roman Empire was moving towards, you know.
Well, that's what the Roman Empire was. That's what.
Yeah, but it's
that's
been expanded,
the, that's,
you know,
that's
now.
That's the allegory that John of Patmos is working with, is a global economy, which is in fact the Roman economy. And when he talks about, you know, you couldn't buy anything without the mark of the beast, well, you know, the coinage became globalized. You could not buy, you know, that's why you had to exchange in the temple, for instance, you had to exchange your dirty Roman money for good, clean temple money. And then you could buy the dove. It's because the coinage had become globalized, and literally, you know, if you were a within the sphere of Roman influence, you could not buy food, you could not live without accepting their money. And so that's what that whole allegory is about.
Well, we still have today certain kinds of exclusiveness because we do discriminate economically. And it's not the coinage so much. It's like our society shuns certain types of people. I mean, I know I'm one of them. And you just see this every day. And they warm up to other types of people. It just depends on the appearance. You know, it's like, it's not a mark of a beast, literally. You know, it's like they have to sense that you're one of them.
Yeah, and it's also a question of whose ox they're willing to gore. You know what I mean? But we got to go to our break, Rockwheel. We run out of time again. Thanks so much. Have a good evening. All right, and more of your phone calls when we come back. Maybe a little bit more information about this nurses issue. I've got a note here from Jesse, but we've got to decipher it. Still learning how to do that kind of thing. This is Head On. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. I'm Bob Kincaid. Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. Pre-trial dates have been set for a Mercer County man charged with the December 03 murder of a Princeton woman. Ernest Jeffrey Meadows is accused of killing Heidi Brown with a sledgehammer and dismembering her body. The murder came to light after a dog found one of the victim's legs and carried it to a porch on a mobile home in Princeton. Circuit Judge Derek Swope set May 30th as the deadline for receiving forensic sexual assault kit information and July 14th for motions on a suppression of statements hearing. Tomorrow marks the 100th anniversary of the founding of Fenton Art Glass. The country's largest manufacturer of handmade colored glass will mark the occasion with a visit from Governor Manchin to its Williamstown headquarters. The governor will issue an official proclamation and learn from Fenton master artists. A drifter accused of killing a Moundsville couple and hiding their bodies in a makeshift basement tomb has waived his preliminary hearing. Harold Moss Jr. was charged in the shooting deaths of William and Susan Coyster, whose decomposed bodies were recovered in January from a concrete tomb in the basement of their home. Moss waived his right to a preliminary hearing today before Marshall County Magistrate David Buzzard, and the case is expected to go before a circuit judge. Well, they say April showers are supposed to bring May flowers, but the weather feels anything but spring. A low pressure system moving southward from the Great Lakes brought snow yesterday to Flat Top and other higher elevations such as northern Fayette County. Also prompted the National Weather Service to issue a frost advisory last night, but tonight there is a frost warning. Here's the rest of the forecast then for this evening. Partly cloudy and chilly, upper 40s to around 50 now. Tonight, widespread frost after 4 in the morning. Otherwise, partly cloudy, low tonight, upper 20s in some areas to around 31 in most areas. And then for Wednesday, widespread frost until around 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. Otherwise, the rest of Wednesday will be sunny with temperatures mid-50s. Wednesday night, partly cloudy, low 37, and Thursday, partly cloudy, with a high near 63. Extended forecast for Mother's Day, then sunny. Temperatures by Saturday and Sunday in the upper 60s to low 70s. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
Members of Congress like to claim that they're just regular folks. But I don't know many ordinary Americans who have political slush funds to pay for life's little necessities, do you? These funds, called leadership PACs, are created by various lawmakers ostensibly to collect money to help elect or re-elect other politicians of their particular stripe. Many of the congressional leaders, however, have been doling out big chunks of their PAC money to the politician they favor the most, themselves. Take Michael Oxley of Ohio, who chairs a powerful committee. Corporations needing legislative favors are delighted to shove money into Oxley's leadership PAC, but this leader is diverting much of it to pay for his own royal lifestyle. In the past 2 years alone, for example, his PAC paid for $25,000 worth of chauffeured limousine rides around Manhattan. It also covered 47 trips on chartered jets, plus financing his annual ski jaunt out to Vail, as well as golfing trips to Arizona and Florida. Other members even use their leadership PACs for some of the more mundane purchases that you'd think they'd cover themselves. Tom DeLay, for example, uses his PAC fund to buy cigars. Roy Blunt billed his PAC for tickets to a Fleetwood Mac concert. And Senator Rick Santorum even charges his PAC for the cups of coffee he buys at Starbucks. Note that all of these Congress critters are arch-conservatives who are constantly giving speeches about fiscal responsibility and personal integrity. Both Democrats and Republicans play this self-serving slush fund game, and both rush to defend their expenditures by saying that the practice is perfectly legal. Well, yes, but guess who wrote the law that makes it legal? This is Jim Hightower saying, if the managers of, say, a union PAC were caught self-dealing like this, they'd be indicted. But then, they don't get to write laws to legalize their own immoral behavior.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac. The libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what. Support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
He's got the heart of a conservative, pickled on a jar on his desk. Here's Bob Kincaid.
All right, welcome back. A little less than 22 minutes before 9 o'clock. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Sorry, we have to. Sometimes we have to communicate back and forth here, and it's easier just to, instead of, you start doing the hand signals, and the next thing you know, you're landing a jet on a carrier deck somewhere, and you didn't even know you were trying. as far as this nurse's story is concerned, phone number, 252-6200 locally, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. There were, in fact, 9 nurses suspended from work at Beckley ARH, and this according to a union spokesman. Bill Riggs from the Kentucky Nurses Association called the action retaliation against the nurses for speaking out about safe patient care. Well, that would seem to be what it is. Beckley ARH didn't comment because the matter involves personnel. A letter of reprimand was sent to that. Reprimand? Reprimand? The nerve of the bosses. A letter of reprimand was sent to these nurses that would become part of their personnel file. Mr. Riggs said that grievances have been filed and they will vigorously defend the nurses' right to speak out about unsafe conditions in ARH hospitals. The educational rally, I'm reading here, I'm sorry. You guys are equally capable of reading the newspaper, but I hear that reading the newspaper is really hot in local talk radio, so I'll go on. It was designed to educate citizens in the Beckley community about nurses' concerns that adequate staffing and safe patient care was not being responded to by Beckley ARH management. And, in fact, there are senses out there that patients have a right to safe and quality patient care. Well, yeah. Yeah. So the question remains, where is that line? Do we as consumers, you know, we're healthcare consumers, you know, the consumer, as healthcare consumers, do we have a right to know if there is an inadequate staffing issue? If you get on an airplane, do you have a right to know whether there is enough of a staff to get the thing off the ground? Of course you do. But we live in we live in a time where, for heaven's sakes, stomping on working people has risen from the level of being an occasional unpleasantness. Well, look at what we're dealing with the administration in Washington. It has become blood sport. It's blood sport. Got me some workers. Think I'll stomp on them for a little bit, see if they squeal. How loud? And of course, we get weasel words from Rocco Massey, community CEO for Beckley ARH. I need a weasel word.
ARH continuously strives to work in concert with the West Virginia Nurses Association to provide appropriate and safe staffing. The overall staffing levels at Beckley ARH, as well as all ARH hospitals, are appropriate, and all ARH hospitals have systems in place to measure and monitor patient quality and safety indicators.
Weasel words. Let's go to the phones. One of the nurses involved with the issue is with us. Kelly, you're head on. Hey, Kelly.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. Thank you for calling.
I just thought that I'd call in. We've been fairly quiet lately, and we've done that for a reason. We've been quiet because we are afraid that they're going to retaliate and possibly discharge us for informing our patients.
And I can understand that fear, but it's out in the public now.
Absolutely.
And I think you, if nothing else, you deserve to have your side of the story told.
Yeah, and that's exactly how we feel. We felt like this was a last resort, Bob. After months and months of talking to ARH officials, we still continue to talk to the officials. And like Mr. Riggs said to one of the reporters, was that they can give you an action plan on paper, but actually to have the bodies in there doing the work, it's not happening.
Well, Kelly, let's back up just a little bit, Kelly. Tell me about what was the nature of the informational rally?
We felt like our patients had the right to understand the quality of care, the safety issues that are at hand when they enter our facility. We are there to provide safe, quality care to the patients. That's what we're about. We're nurses.
Sure.
And in several attempts, speaking with the ARH officials, We weren't getting anywhere, so we felt like it was time for us to let our patients know.
Well, where did the rally take place?
It took place in the Grandfather's parking lot.
Uh-huh.
We actually had, and we would like to thank Gary Barnaby's permission to carry the rally in his parking lot.
Okay. Was it well attended?
It was. I think that several nurses were afraid to come. Because there was a letter that was put out beforehand threatening people, you know, disciplinary action. However, we do have an association at the facility, and we've got the proper procedures to go through as far as grievances go. Several people honked. We had ambulance services there. You know, everybody's just getting fed up.
Well, when we talk about staffing issues, now, I've had a caller earlier, a couple of them, who have talked about the way that shifts are managed in a hospital, and I've heard reference to 12-hour shifts and 16-hour shifts.
The majority of us at the hospital work 12-hour shifts.
Okay.
They are allowed, the company is allowed to mandate us for 4 more hours, and they can mandate us for up to 8 hours extra a week, which would actually be a 48-hour week. But, you know, when you've worked 12 hours and then they mandate you for 4 more and you have to come back on your next shift, you know, within that time period, it's not enough rest.
Well, no, it's not. And, well, frankly, from my standpoint, I'm concerned about anybody, and it goes back to the way I was raised. My dad was a furnace operator. And he used to tell me that, you know, there were times he had to have the overtime, but he said I wasn't worth a plug nickel after hour number 8.
That's right.
And asking nurses, you know, who literally are holding lives in the balance to work a full half a day?
That's right.
Is that even reasonable?
It's not reasonable. We do it. We do it because we're there for our patients.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to leave our patients unattended. And if after, you know, the end of 12 hours we don't have somebody to relieve us, we have to stay there for the patient. Now, recently several of our nurses have also worked over 16 hours, and, you know, there's a state law that states that that's against the law.
Well, I hope you understand, I'm not being in the least critical of your avocation, but doesn't patient well-being and health, isn't there a risk factor involved with extended hours like that?
There is a risk factor involved. You know, when we get tired, anybody in their job, when we get tired, we're not as astute to changes in patient conditions that we would need to prompted to notify the physician.
Well, and there are medications out there that are one letter different from one another, and yet can be the difference between life and death.
That's correct.
And if you're a little blinky, bad things can happen, can't they?
That's absolutely correct, and that's why we're there.
Well, what would remedy the situation?
We have been, you know, in talks with them. We need more nurses. Everybody agrees that we need more nurses in the facility. Dr. Massey's not saying it, you know, to the public, but we know that he knows that we need more nurses.
Well, okay, when you say we need more nurses, is that to say there is an absence of nurses on staff as a function of the, you know, we're constantly told that there is a national nursing shortage. There just aren't enough nurses coming out of school. Is this a function of the shortage in nurses, or is this a function of management's unwillingness to part with the loot?
We believe it's a function of management's unwillingness. We have several nursing schools here locally, as well as several nursing schools throughout the state, and we do have graduating classes coming up. The graduate nurses are there. We need them hired.
And I'll go ahead and ask you if it's too close to home, just tell me. Does Beckley ARH pay competitively with other local health care facilities?
This is not about the money, Bob. We make good money at Beckley ARH.
Okay.
We make good money.
Okay.
This is not about the money. This is about the patients.
Okay. Well, it was a question that needed to be asked, and I appreciate you giving the answer. So it would seem to me it smells like a money issue then. I mean, not from your standpoint, right, but from management's.
Right. And you know, what's happened now is we were out there, we were on our days off. While we were in uniform, we felt like it was important for the public to be able to identify us.
Certainly.
And that's why we were out there in uniform. We had no facility, you know, identifying factors of any sort on our bodies. On our signs, we did ask the public, ask the patients, ask the visitors, ask our customers to inform ARH that they know this.
That they're aware of the situation.
Exactly.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And that's what we've done here. I've suggested perhaps a call to the administrator's office tomorrow by those who are listening,
right,
to let them know that we are paying attention. Are you aware, and I don't want confidence and confidentiality is everything, have there been situations or near miss situations that speak to the issues which you're discussing now?
I don't know about the open public records in the state of West Virginia, but I believe if people looked, they would find them.
Okay. What about, we talked about the 12-hour shifts and stuff. What is the nature of your, give me a typical work week.
What we're supposed to work are 3 12-hour shifts, and we get paid for 40 hours for doing that. However, I can't tell you the last time I personally worked, a 36-hour work week, other than last week when I was suspended. Actually, they suspended me on a week where I had an overtime shift scheduled.
And is it just assumed then? Is it a sort of a nod and a wink that, yeah, we're going to work you 36 and pay you for 40, but we're going to get the 40 out of you?
Absolutely.
Does this apply to all areas or all departments, or is there a particular area department that's more critically understaffed than others?
There are, a couple of areas that are more critically understaffed than the others. There are a couple of patient floors that have, they've got one nurse scheduled to care for 13 patients. One registered nurse. Now, she's got support staff, don't get me wrong.
Sure.
She does have the support staff there, but, that one registered nurse is responsible for all the care for every one of those 13 patients, and sometimes that's just not enough.
Well, when you've got one RN dealing with 13 patients, what does that do in terms of the amount of time that you're able to spend with any given patient?
It's definitely cut down. We feel like our patients are not getting educated, like registered nurses are required, to educate their patients as far as their disease processes and treatment plans go. That is almost a moot point in our where we work.
Is it acceptable within rules of protocol or procedure to have one RN in a ratio like that?
We've been in talks about that. ARH has told us that they're going to start looking at an acuity-based system, which means the severity of illness. If the patient is more severely ill, the acuity will be higher. However, the staffing ratios as they are right now, the acuity-based system is not helping us right now.
And I assume that the RN is also responsible for communications with the MD physicians as well.
Yes, the registered nurse is the direct link between the patient and the physician. If there's a change in a patient condition, the registered nurse has got to notify the physician and for direction.
Okay, and is that impacted as well?
Absolutely. I mean, if the nurse, can't see that there's something going on with the patient, then they're not going to be able to call the physician. Absolutely.
And, of course, I've been fortunate not to be hospitalized a lot, but back there behind the desk, you've got a lot of things that beep and go ping and spit out paper and make funny green spiky lines across little screens. That one nurse is in charge of all of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mercy. Is there any further plans for any more public information or public education?
I'm sure that we will have. Excuse me.
It's okay.
In light of the the recent events and the suspensions and the fact that we are in the grievance process, we'll probably not do anything in the very near future. However, we will continue to educate the public.
What, if you don't mind, what was in the letters of reprimand?
That we were being suspended for our actions that occurred. They stated that we were on ARH property. We were not. I've got the address. We were at 107 Staniford Roads where we were, and that we interfered with the normal operations of ARH. We didn't. I mean, we were standing on the road. We still have association members inside the hospital providing care to patients.
It sounds to me like it's a little bit cooked up, Kelly.
Absolutely.
Well, I tell you what, I appreciate you giving us a call. I'm glad to be able to get, rather than just sort of speculate and guess, it's always better to have information from the source, and I thank you for taking time and frankly, for having the courage to call.
No problem.
And best of luck. Anything that we can do to help, please know that we're here.
I sure will. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye now. Sounds reasonable to me. How about you? Can you imagine that? One human being literally responsible for the lives of 13 others for 12, 16 hours on end. I don't know if you ever plan on getting sick. And especially, quite likely, if you don't plan on getting sick, this gentleman needs a phone call. Just be nice. Leave a message with his secretary. You don't necessarily have to talk to him. Rocco Massey, community CEO, Beckley ARH. General switchboard number is 255-3000. That, according to the 2005 phone book I have in my hand, 255-3000. Let them know that you stand behind these working men and women who literally hold lives in the balance, and that you side with them. And why are you going to do that? You're going to do that because, and this is one of those easy ones, it's the right thing to do. You're not just standing with these working people, you're standing with the people they're trying to care for. Can't find the moral quandary in that. This one seems to be really, really easy. Do the right thing. Stand with these people who stand with you. Time to go to our top of the hour break. Your phone calls at 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Hi, I'm Roseanne Cash. To millions of people, Johnny Cash was a music legend. To me, he was just Dad. When he died, a lot of people thought a lifetime of hard living finally caught up with him. And it's true, Dad had his demons, but he also had diabetes. For years, he ignored it, even as his health and vision slipped away. Until one day, as he sat in his office, surrounded by books he could no longer read, he said to me, "This is a room full of regrets now." Diabetes is serious. It can steal your sight, your limbs, and worst of all, take you away from the people who love you. But it doesn't have to be this way. If you have diabetes, test and control your blood sugar regularly. You'll be healthier and you'll feel better, too. For a free new guide on managing your blood sugar daily, visit healthywithdiabetes.org. A message from the American Association of Diabetes Educators.
What's it like?
What's it like?
It's lonely.
It's really lonely.
I miss my brother.
I miss my brother.
I'm surrounded by other people, but it's not the same.
There are other people around me, but it's not the same.
It's pretty scary, but I don't let it rattle me.
It's scary around here, but I don't let it rattle me.
You always have to watch your back.
There's no one to watch my back.
I spend my whole day worrying who's out to get me.
I'm always wondering who's out to get me.
But I can take care of myself.
But I can take care of myself.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
It's not like I have a choice.
It's not like I have a choice.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
Go to jail for a gun crime, and your family serves a sentence with you. Gun crimes hit home.
A public service announcement brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods for the Southern District of West Virginia and the Ad Council.
10, 9, 8.
Hi, honey.
Hi.
You playing hide and seek with the kids?
No. They spilled chocolate milk on the new couch, and I'm counting so that I won't yell at them.
New couch? You bought a new couch?
Yeah, sorry.
Patience. Use it before you lose it.
10, 9, 8.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For practical ideas you can use in your family, visit family.mormon.org.
Tight budget have you going out less? Stretch your entertainment dollars by visiting a library in the newly formed Mountain Library Network. One card travels with you to libraries in 16 West Virginia counties. Stop by a participating library to sign up for your new card and to check out the benefits. Many libraries, one card does it all.
Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history, you can depend on us. News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. It's 9 o'clock.
Did you know your home can cause twice the greenhouse gases of your car? It's true. The good news is, you can help with Energy Star. The EPA urges you to take steps to reduce your home energy bills and make a big difference in the fight against air pollution. Visit EnergyStar.gov.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here's your forecast from the Weather Channel. Low pressure aloft continues to be slow to move east, so we'll continue with cloudy intervals tonight. Scattered frost is possible as well. Chilly lows into the low and mid-30s, in town around 34. 55 back tomorrow with increased sunshine. We'll throw in a beautiful Thursday. Partly cloudy with a 58. And if you like that, well, Friday's a gift. It's 66 and a partly cloudy afternoon.
WWNR Beckley.
He's kind of brave. He's not afraid to use it. Liberally, of course. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 6 minutes after 9 o'clock. Moving toward, moving through the final hour of this Tuesday night edition of Head On. And a little more on the nursing situation at Beckley Appalachian Regional Hospital. An email from one of our original FOBs, Nanette. That's friend of Bob. She writes, "Hi, Bob." "Hi, Nanette. Nurses all over are being worked like that. They do it in Charleston as well. Kudos to the nurses in Beckley for taking a stand. The staffing in hospitals is at a critical stage. The 12 and 16-hour shifts are the norm." Yeah, and the norm is wrong. And 255-3000 is the switchboard number. Ask for administration. Leave a message saying that abusing the nurses is the same as abusing the patients. Now, this I want to share with you. I was asked to maintain anonymity. I certainly will do that. The email comes in. "I am one of the nurses that have been suspended and thought I might share some of the suspension letter with you and your listeners." Quote. Now, this is what the bosses, this is the hammer that the bosses dropped on these nurses who actually, you know, give a damn about their patients. It's getting depressing. If you work for a living and you draw a paycheck and you give a damn about what you do, they will try to grind you under their heel. Here is some of the language from the reprimand letter. "Your active participation in the picketing, which occurred at the Beckley ARH Hospital..." Now, see, first of all, we know that this sorry illegitimus is lying. because you heard it just a few minutes ago. It wasn't at the Beckley ARH Hospital. It wasn't even on Beckley ARH property. It was on private property. Directly interfered with the normal business operations of ARH. Notice how they say that. The normal business operations of ARH. Not the normal healthcare operations, the normal business operations. Because, baby, when it comes to a for-profit facility, business is what it is. The normal business operations of ARH. Get me a hummingbird tongue on a cracker, would you please? Created an unnecessary waste of the company's time. Baby, it's the company's time! They weren't wasting the company's time. They were all on their own time. They were all on their own time. Liars. Liars. I despise a liar. You can carry on a debate. You can carry on a discussion with someone who is willing to come from the other side in reason and common sense. But when they start the damned lying, it's over. And this, and what this letter is an attempt to define and frame. We talk about framing. This is an attempt to frame the debate. Waste of the company's time and resources. Yeah, which resources? Jerk. And as such, constitutes just cause for disciplinary action. So everything that has been laid out up to the just cause for disciplinary action is a damned lie. Whether it be company time, company property, picketing, it wasn't picketing, including discharge. In other words, shut up or we'll fire you. Shut up or we will, by God, fire you. Although your actions were clearly improper, well, that's called assuming facts not in evidence. So far, there is no indication that anything that was done by these healthcare professionals who are concerned about the well-being of your loved ones in that facility, there is no indication whatsoever that there was any impropriety. We have mitigated our discipline in this case. No, they haven't. They're sitting here, they're putting letters of reprimand into people's files, that and the letters themselves are you know, it's a house of cards built on shifting sands, and the shifting sands are lies. You are to be advised, however, you know, doesn't that sound terribly legalistic? Be advised. Yeah, okay. Advise this. That any future violations of the law, there were no violations of the law. What, I don't know, was this signed by Rocco Massey? Any future violations of the law, what law was violated? He is implying that the law was violated. That's a libel. But have the effect of interfering with the ARH operations or affect ARH responsibilities to our patients will result in more stringent disciplinary measures. Bite me, Rocco. Bite me. Now, I'm sorry. Maybe I'm being a little bit harsh. But I've read that language. This is a quote from that stupid, stinking letter. Oh, Muffy, let's go out and oppress the working people today. Oh, do lovely. We can't wear white yet. It's not quite Memorial Day. But the note, Bob, FYI, it was highly stressed to the public via local television coverage that this was not a picket. It was an informational, educational rally and also was not at Beckley ARH. Also, the news quoted Rocco Massey saying that operations and patient care was not affected by our activities. See, that's the trouble you get into when you start lying like he did. Because on the one hand, you have to sit there and say, patient care and operations have not been compromised. And then you turn around and you write a filthy little screed like this. And so thank you, unnamed one. I appreciate your having sent this to me, and I will protect your anonymity. Thank you for sharing this with us, because it certainly wasn't contained in the article in the newspaper. But we needed to know it. That just makes me crazy. an unnecessary waste of the company's time. How about the patient's time, Rocco? How about the patient's well-being? How about the well-being of people that you've got working 12, 14, 16, 18, 20 hours? Again, it's about the money. Not about the people. Not in 2005. Not in America. It's not about the people. It's about the money. Let's take our break. When we come back, phone calls, 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. This is Head On. I'm Bob.
Nearly 70 million Americans, men, women, the old and the young, share a common enemy, arthritis. Make a difference in the fight against arthritis. Team up with Colony Drug, the Arthritis Foundation, and Southern Communications for Beckley's second Arthritis Walk, Thursday, May 19th, on the McManus Rail Trail at New River Park. For fun, and help fight the nation's leading cause of disability, arthritis. Form a team with your friends and family. For details, call Colony Drug and Wellness Center at 252-5305. And join us May 19th for a walk in the park.
This is the sound of local charities, food drives, and disaster relief without local broadcasters. But with the help of local broadcasters, things can change.
We're here at the 6th annual Action News Run to Fight Cancer. What makes this event unique is the large number of runners who are actual cancer survivors.
All across America, thousands of local broadcasters are an active part of their communities, sponsoring events that offer hope to those who need it. And it doesn't stop there. America's local broadcasters provide free airtime for radiothons, disaster relief, and raise millions for charity.
Broadcasting live from the City Mall, where you can bring your toy donations to help kids throughout our area.
While we can't always control the world around us, communities can rely on broadcasters for local information all at the touch of a button.
You're tracking the storm system, and it looks like it's moving past our area. But authorities are urging people...
America's local broadcasters. Always on, always there when you need us. Brought to you by this station and the National Association of Broadcasters.
What do you think of when you see a Shriner? Their unique red hats, their colorful parades? What about helping kids? Shriners Hospitals offers some of the world's best orthopedic spinal cord and burn medical care to children totally free of charge. And they combine that care with innovative teaching and progressive research programs. If you know a child they could help, call 1-800-237-5055 for more information. Shriners, having fun and helping kids.
A man who just loves conservatives, baked, boiled, or fried. Here's Bob Kincaid.
All right, welcome back. 16, coming up on 17 minutes after the hour. And to the phones, 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-WWNR. Chris has been holding and holding and holding, and I appreciate it, Chris. Thanks.
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
I'm doing good. You?
I haven't been feeling all that great, but this tonight doesn't help any.
Oh.
Okay, one nurse, 13 patients?
Yeah.
Okay, all of a sudden, three of them just went copulate. What do you do?
What do you do?
What do you do?
You know, you hope that maybe that's not happening all over the hospital at the same time, and maybe you can get some help, and maybe you can't.
And maybe you hope all those rooms are right next to each other so she can just go from room to room.
Yeah. But, you know, and again, Chris, it's not just here.
Yeah.
This is a national thing.
A few years ago, a company came in and bought all the local hospitals here, and I have a very good friend. He's like a brother to me. His wife is a nurse, and her and a bunch of her friends that she works with were scared to death. What's going to happen? Are we going to lose our job? Are we going to have to work even more than we already do? Are we going to work a fraction of the time? What's going to happen to the patients?
Yeah.
You know, and lo and behold, she was able to keep her job, thank goodness. She works a week on and a week off.
Mm-hmm.
She works 12 hours.
Well, see, one of the things that sort of got me thinking, Chris, you know, we've heard for years now about the nursing shortage.
Yeah.
And
oh, there's, you go anywhere in the country, and there are ads in the paper. RNs, CNAs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the language says, RNs, tell us what you want, and we'll make it happen. You know, we need CNAs bad. Please, please, we'll pay for your parking, whatever.
Yeah, LPNs.
Yeah.
Right. But the thing is, I wonder, because you see, anytime there's a crisis, anytime there's a labor shortage or anything like that, or a labor surplus, management is always looking for a way to short the workers.
Absolutely.
And so you take this nursing crisis and this nursing shortage, and you parlay that into a way to quit paying people, you know, to work a decent day's hours.
Well, what they're not thinking, what this idiot and his cronies in the boardroom are not thinking about is this. Nurses are the face of the hospital.
Absolutely.
They are the face of the hospital. And if those nurses are so overworked and so tired, and believe you me, I know some, and I know the lady that calls tonight and the one who's anonymous, my heart goes out to you. I know what kind of work you guys do, and it's extraordinary that you do it.
And it's hard.
They are wore out. They are tired. They just can't hardly go.
You know, and this isn't the kind of work, Chris, that just makes you dog bone tired physically.
People go in a shoe store and they go, "Oh, those are nurses' shoes. I bet they're comfortable." Look, buddy, I don't care if you're walking on air, you're walking.
Yeah.
They do extraordinary work.
And
they keep people alive.
And
they take pity.
Yeah,
on the people that are there that have no family.
That's the thing. It doesn't just exhaust. I couldn't do it, Chris. I honest to God could not do it, because it exhausts your physical body. It exhausts your mind trying to keep up with everything, because so many lives are hanging in the balance. And then, as an added bonus, it exhausts and breaks your soul.
Yeah, my mom used to work as a nurse's aide in Florida when she was growing up. And she told me all kinds of stories. She dreaded every 4th of July because there would be kids coming in with fingers blown off or whatever from fireworks. Yeah. They dreaded New Year's Eve because, you know, there would be people, innocent people hit by...
drunks.
By drunks and stuff. You see, go to your local... hospital one night on the weekend and sit there from about noon to about midnight and see what you see. We think, oh, that's terrible, and we get in our car and go home. Well, there are people that's going to be there all night. They're going to be working with those people. And you can't let it get to you. Because if you suffer for every person that comes in there, you're going to be in an even worse state than they already are.
Oh, I know.
And that's what you've got to tell your mind. You got to turn it off. You got to turn your emotions off. Well, that's hard to do, especially when you're bone tired.
Yeah, and frankly, and I'm not gooning on the doctors, but, you know, the nurses are there 24/7. They are the boots on the ground. They're in the rooms. They're by the patients. You know, if it bleeds, they stop the bleeding. If it hurts, they try to stop the hurting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the doctor sweeps in, the doctor sweeps out. He writes some notes on a board, you know, and he gets his money, and he goes on to the next patient.
Yeah.
And I'm not gooning on the doctors. That's just, you know, they got to do a volume business.
Yeah.
But
remember, they mentioned this on a MASH episode. I always go back to MASH because I love that show. They had a patient that came in, and Ginger, a lady played by Odessa Cleveland, it's a black lady.
Yeah, I remember her character.
Yeah, I know you know, but I'm not sure that everybody knows. Hawkeye asked her to get her some blood for him. He needed another pint of blood. And he says, "I don't want the wrong color blood."
Oh, I remember that.
And he says, "What do you mean?" He says, "I wouldn't want any of that darky stuff, you know."
Yeah.
And Hawkeye says, "Oh, yeah." So Hawkeye and Trapper pull a little thing.
Yeah, they painted him with iodine, didn't they?
They painted him with...
It was iodine.
It was iodine or something like that. And then they painted him dark.
Yeah.
And then he wakes up and he goes, "Did they give me the wrong color blood?" And she goes, and the nurse, Ginger, Odessa Cleveland, says, "They got you down as white. Good work, baby." And he says, "Get out of here." And Hawkeye and Trapper go and tell him, say, you ever heard of Dr. Charles Drew? And he says, no. He's the man who invented the act of separating blood, plasma.
Mm-hmm.
He died last week in a hospital in North Carolina. He was in an accident. He bled to death.
Yep.
They wouldn't let him in the hospital be treated because it was for whites only.
Yeah. And that's a true story. That did happen to Dr.
That is a true story.
Yeah.
Now, you know that even the racist ideals of that time, let's say there were five nurses there, I bet you at least two of them were going, this is terrible, we've got to help this man.
Mm-hmm.
Not knowing. But nowadays you've got this where I have seen, and my mom has seen too, I have seen people die in a hospital emergency room because they didn't have insurance.
Oh, yeah. It happens now. This is a broken, shattered system.
Yeah.
And
what are these fine nurses to do? They're not allowed to treat them. They have to sit there and watch this person die or go about their business. Okay, you've worked 8 hours. We want you to stay four more. We're not going to pay you for them, but we're going to stay four more. There was just
Or better, you know, what I'm hearing, it's you've worked 12, we need you to work 16, or you've worked 16, we need you to work 20.
When I worked at Walmart, I don't know how many times that I would go in at 7 and work till 4, go home, come back at 6, and work till 9 or 9:30 the next morning.
Yeah.
And if I didn't do it...
Or you'd get done with your shift, and they'd tell you to clock out, and then they'd put you to work.
Yeah. And if I didn't do it, guess what? The next week, I might get about 10 hours.
Yeah.
Now, when the nuts to maintain my insurance. But to... These nurses are extraordinary people. I think they are. I know they are. And to suspend them for protesting, let's say?
No, they weren't even protesting. They were merely informing.
Informing? Now, look, everybody in West Virginia ought to know. Everybody in West Virginia knows someone who has been down in those coal mines.
Yeah.
Now, where would they have been if they hadn't decided, you know what, I don't think I'd like to work the way we're doing. We need to do something about it.
Yeah.
Where would they be?
Right, and that's what, I mean, this union is apparently doing its dead level best to stand up, because they're going through the grievance process, Chris, and they're clearly delineating, calling it what it is. It's nothing but pure retaliation. I mean, you heard the language from the letter. It was nothing but a raft of lies.
Has that letter been made available to the press?
I don't know that it was. I don't know. Well, it wasn't in the story as I got it from the newspaper.
Well, at that, I'm just saying, if you could find a reporter there that was. Now, see, that goes back to management. That goes back to management. You may have a reporter there in Beckley goes, I would love to get my hands on that letter. I would love to print that. Now. The guy that owns that runs the Beckley paper. What if he's real good buddies with the guy that runs the hospital?
Well, and that's, you know, that's the beauty of small town politics.
Bill, Bob, I don't want to do it. Okay, Bill, Bob, I won't run it.
You scratch my back, and I'll scratch your back.
And if you come to the hospital, we're short on nurses. Maybe you won't get an infection.
You know, these people are such pros, though. I mean, they took such care, Chris, to make sure that nothing was interfered with, nothing was interrupted, nothing in any wise, had any impact on the comings and goings and operations of the hospital facility. They took their own time on their own days off when they weren't on the clock.
Yeah.
They weren't even on hospital property, and still the bosses retaliate against them.
I had an entirely different thing I was going to talk about when I called tonight, and then you got into this, and I tell you what, there's no way I could not talk about this.
No, I understand it.
But I want to share one little small thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a new show coming out.
Okay.
That's going to have Tom DeLay on it. He is going to have to spend a month in a house with ex-judges who had to leave the bench and force retirement and are now surviving on Medicaid.
Oh, that should be fun.
That should be fun show right there. We'll have to watch for that. I'm going to see if I can get you to be the host.
Hey, Chris, thanks so much, man.
Take care, and nurses, hang in there.
That's right.
You can do it.
Have a good one, Chris.
All right.
Later. And time for our break. We'll be back. We've got more of your phone calls. 252-6200 outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. Pre-trial dates have been set for a Mercer County man charged with the December 03 murder of a Princeton woman. Ernest Jeffrey Meadows is accused of killing Heidi Brown with a sledgehammer and dismembering her body. The murder came to light after a dog found one of the victim's legs and carried it to a porch on a mobile home in Princeton. Circuit Judge Derek Swope set May 30th as the deadline for receiving forensic sexual assault kit information and July 14th for motions on a suppression of statements hearing. Tomorrow marks the 100th anniversary of the founding of Fenton Art Glass. The country's largest manufacturer of handmade colored glass will mark the occasion with a visit from Governor Manchin to its Williamstown headquarters. The governor will issue an official proclamation and learn from Fenton master artists. A drifter accused of killing a Moundsville couple and hiding their bodies in a makeshift basement tomb has waived his preliminary hearing. Harold Moss Jr. was charged in the shooting deaths of William and Susan Coyster, whose decomposed bodies were recovered in January from a concrete tomb in the basement of their home. Moss waived his right to a preliminary hearing today before Marshall County Magistrate David Buzzard, and the case is expected to go before a circuit judge. Well, they say April showers are supposed to bring May flowers, but the weather feels anything but spring. A low pressure system moving southward from the Great Lakes brought snow yesterday to Flattop and other higher elevations such as northern Fayette County. Also prompted the National Weather Service to issue a frost advisory last night, but tonight there is a frost warning. Here's the rest of the forecast then for this evening. Partly cloudy and chilly, upper 40s to around 50 now. Tonight, widespread frost after 4 in the morning. Otherwise, partly cloudy, low tonight, upper 20s in some areas to around 31 in most areas. And then for Wednesday, widespread frost until around 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. Otherwise, the rest of Wednesday will be sunny with temperatures mid-50s. Wednesday night, partly cloudy, low 37, and Thursday, partly cloudy, with a high near 63. Extended forecast for Mother's Day, then sunny. Temperatures by Saturday and Sunday in the upper 60s to low 70s. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
Welcome to Green and Growing, the Lawn and Garden Show with Bill Clutho, John Deere's groundskeeping guru. Bill, I thought I'd get a jump on my garden this year, so I've got my garden tools.
Wait, don't jump on your garden. Stopping isn't good for vegetables.
I meant that I'm ready to get a jump on digging.
Oh, in that case, why not skip digging altogether and use a tiller instead? With a walk-behind tiller, adjust the depth bar to just break the surface crust on the first go-round. Then set it for deeper tilling and move in an S pattern to keep the tiller from leaning to one side.
Well, how will I know when my bed is ready?
It should feel like chocolate cake. Crumbly. John Deere recommends mixing the soil to the maximum depth of the tiller without pulverizing the soil.
So this year I can skip digging and get a jump on my planting by using a tiller. Thanks for making my project a piece of cake. Tune in again to Bill Clutho to learn how to keep your garden green and growing.
Most of the time, the pain experienced by severe burn patients while they are healing is adequately controlled by medication. But during wound care, the majority of patients report being in excruciating pain. Speaking at a symposium sponsored by the National Institute on Drug Abuse, Dr. Hunter Hoffman of the University of Washington in Seattle says virtual reality distraction may be one way to further reduce the pain. He adds that the more realistic the virtual reality world, the greater the benefit.
We did an experiment where we had one virtual world that was as good as we could get it, and we had another virtual world that was as bad as we could get it. high-tech VR was much more effective, significantly more effective than low-tech VR for reducing pain. And there was a correlation between how much presence people reported and how much pain reduction.
Dr. Hoffman says preliminary results from brain scans of patients undergoing MRIs also show dramatic reduction in pain-related brain activity during virtual reality. This is Calvin Jackson, the National Institutes of Health, Bethesda, Maryland.
This old house.
Live in a place where a workshop isn't feasible?
No basement or garage space available?
Hi, I'm James.
And I'm Warren.
And we're the Carey Brothers with the On the House Tip of the Day.
Today you'll learn how to hang a workshop hidden on the back of a door. Right after this.
What's the best way to build a new deck or replace an old one? Deckmaster, the hidden deck fastening system that holds your deck in place from below the deck board.
With Deckmaster, there are no streaks or stains, no hammer dents or nasty pop-up nails to cut little feet. Ouch!
Deckmaster helps extend deck life by preventing wood rot caused by water that seeps in through holes created by nails and screws.
And Deckmaster is guaranteed for 25 years.
Don't even think about building or replacing any deck without Deckmaster. Visit Deckmaster at Deckmaster.com for a dealer near you.
This old house is...
Live in a place where a workshop isn't feasible? No basement or garage space available? Today you'll learn how to hang a workshop hidden away on the back of a door. Maybe you've got a small utility closet that pretty much just houses your furnace. Or a hall closet that's just a catch-all for stuff. Either one will do to create a compact and neat back of the door workshop. All right, first cut a piece of pegboard a few inches smaller than your door. Then raise it up and off the door with a frame made of 1x2s, which allows placing various hooks into the holes. Then gather up all your tools and fasteners and start picturing placement and their hook requirements. Then head for the hardware store or home center. There you'll find a vast array of hooks, racks, cups, trays, and spring type holders, all designed for pegboard organization. Once you have your workshop set, you can relax or go one step further and outline everything.
Just remember one thing.
Don't slam the door shut! Yikes! For more tips, visit our website at onthehouse.com.
West Virginia's only live nighttime talker, Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. Oh, let's see. Yeah, 24 minutes and change. Like you don't know what time it is. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. We're talking about the nursing shortage at a local hospital. And let me get something straight here right now. This is a talk show. We will discuss, we will debate, we will talk about issues, we will talk about facts. This is fact-based radio. If you have an issue, bring it to me. Bring it to me. That is the proper response to a debate. Not some whiny crying in some other forum. Bring it to the table. If you are sure of your position, bring it to the table. Square on that? Good. The phone number is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. Ed has some more information for us. Hey, Ed, you head on. Ed.
And one lady was talking about having 13 or 15 people to take care of.
Yeah.
And this is, I'm building this up to a pyramid, but she told me that she had over 100 people that she was in charge of at the nursing home she works at. I just called her. And there is one registered nurse for each hall. There's three halls, and there is a total of over 100 people in there to be cared for. And that, and I know there's a difference there. These people are in there just for care and for bed sores and all this type of stuff.
And that's a different facility, too, right?
Yeah. But I'm just telling you the conditions. And let me tell you something real quick. You know what created a nursing shortage?
What?
The damn pressure that these companies put on these nurses to work 16 hours a day or work off the clock. They tried to get my wife to work off the clock to finish her job, and she told them in no uncertain terms to stick it.
Well, you know, last I checked, slavery is illegal in this.
Well, I'm telling you, there's nurses having to do it now to hold a job because they got to feed their family. But the key to it, I've got a number here they can call, and I used to know the organizer. for the AFL-CI. 1199 is the union number, local number, and that the phone number is 344-3557. If they want a call, and even and look at the power the teachers have gotten because they formed a, they don't really, I don't call that thing, they got a union, it's a association type thing.
Yeah, well, you're talking about the WBEA.
Yeah, and so
there is a real teachers union. There is a real teachers union.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's the AFT.
Yeah, well, the thing of it is, in my time, in my union days, if you weren't organized, there was no such thing as a grievance procedure. And, you know, I question whether they have the right to a grievance or not, even, because they're not organized.
Well, they are organized, Ed.
The nurses?
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. They are organized under...
1199?
No, they're organized under the Kentucky Nurses Association, and that organization represents these nurses here at the ARH.
Okay, well, they got a good deal then. If they are, if they represent the R, most places RNs don't organize.
Right.
But that's the reason I gave them that number. If they've got a grievance procedure, well and good, because they'll kick they'll kick some butt on that. But I just want to enlighten them on what they're doing to the nurses in these nursing homes. And these people, because they're out of it half the time and don't know what's going on, they're working these nurses to death, and if it wasn't for the nurses' aides or whatever the nurses' assistants, whatever the classification is, and the LPNs, they couldn't get nowhere. But I just talked to my wife on that. And let me tell you about that stinking hospital that these people are associated with anyway. My daughter took my granddaughter in there about 3 weeks ago where she split her chin open, had to have 6 stitches. Bob, they sat there till 5 o'clock in the morning, 8 hours before they could get served. And there wasn't a doctor done it then. It was some woman. You know, it wasn't a qualified or certified or qualified or licensed doctor. It was, I think the lady did a pretty good job, it looks like. But the point of it is, sit there 8 hours with a child like that, with gauze and stuff on her chin. You know, I don't want nothing to do with that hospital. And I just tried to call the number, and some supervisor called and asked me, could she help her? And I told her what my problem was, and she couldn't help unless she could get those people made whole in a public apology. But I told her, I said, I'll be calling her. She said the administrator was in at 8 o'clock in the morning. I said, well, I'll be one of his first customers.
Good deal.
So I just wanted to tell you some more facts there of how, you know, of what these nurses are going through, all of them.
Well, yeah.
And I just say, hey, you know, and you know what makes a good union?
What?
A bad company. That's the best thing that could happen if they want a good, strong union. And I say, step out there. You know, they can't get them all. And what they should all do is walk out together, since they're willing to penalize them a day.
Yeah, but you see, Ed, these men and women in the nursing profession, they love their charges, and they love and care about the people who are their patients.
Well,
and they can, and so to a certain extent, they have them over a barrel because they know that they won't jeopardize patient care, even for their.
Well, that's
own
my
work.
Wife's position too. You know, that's what she said. She says the same thing. But you know what? The point of it is the nurses catch all the flack, they get all the work, and then if something goes wrong, they get all the blame.
Well,
and these stinking drones is what I call them, sitting back hollering some of the very stuff that you were talking a while ago, get all the credit on you know, one thing out of what. But you know something? This is just some more steps. If we had the right to work law right now, those people probably wouldn't have a chance.
They wouldn't have a job.
Yeah. So that's what one of the other programs the idiots are preaching on this right to work law state. That's your Weeks over there, old Smoking Joe Weeks.
Yeah, I know.
And so that's where these kind of people are coming from. And you'd be surprised at how many of our legislators, if they had a secret ballot vote and it wouldn't be put out, how many of them would vote for a daggone right to work law. And I hope these ladies will realize that politics. They're in politics whether they like it or not.
You're right, Ed. Hey, Ed, we got to roll along. I got a couple more calls, but thanks for the info.
Talk to you later, Bob.
All right.
Bye.
And let's see. Wayne, you're head on. Hey, Wayne. you got to make it turn red. Make it turn red. There we go. Hey, Wayne.
You there?
Yeah, I'm here finally.
All right, man. I could hear you way far away.
about three pieces of wire over.
Yes.
What's
I
up?
Think, well, you know, obviously I'm interested in this nurse's situation.
Yeah.
And I think what these nurses need is the public support. They do care about their patients, and you know, they're not going to walk off the job, more than likely.
No.
But I would think that the management of ARH definitely owes these people an apology. And I would bet that you take this to before the labor board, they also get back their day's pay.
I should think.
And have that letter taken out of their file.
Right, because we've got a good state labor commissioner.
That we do, but, you know, I mean, people all have rights.
Yeah.
These people, they're violating their First Amendment rights. These people weren't on the clock. They weren't working. They weren't on the property.
They weren't on the clock. They weren't on the property. They were not on, in any wise on the company time.
Well, I don't know how long it's going to take me together, but by the time I get, by 11:30, I'm going to be somewhere near that hospital with a giant sign in the back of a truck that says support these nurses or something to that effect. And anybody that would care to join me, just ride around the hospital there or up and down Staniford Road for a minute, you'll find me.
Okay, that sounds good.
Come on.
Working people are working people, Wayne, and as soon as we get people to understand that, we're going to make a lot more progress.
Well, that's exactly right, Dad. People have to start standing together. I mean, how can... You know, then you have people that get all upset when somebody says the word fascism. Yeah. I mean, what is this? The corporation now gets to tell these people what they'll do on their time off?
Yes.
Where they'll assemble?
Yeah. That's what they want.
That ain't America to me, buddy.
No, that's fascism.
That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. They owe these ladies an apology.
And gentlemen, let's not be sexist. There
and
plenty,
who?
And gentlemen, there are plenty of guy nurses out there.
Hey, I'm an old guy, man. Give me a break.
I know, that's my job.
I know. But, yes, the men and women. And,
you know, we've had plenty of detail here, Wayne, about exactly what their grievance is. We know about the hours that they work. You know, I don't want to get on a bus with a guy who's been driving for 16 hours.
I don't either.
And I'm not in any wise criticizing these hardworking pros, okay? But I don't think you know labor law a hell of a lot better than I do. How in God's name can you expect a human being? I mean, I wouldn't ask a guy selling newspapers to do it for 16 hours, and that's no slam on the newspaper sellers.
No, it is.
But there's not quite as much complication involved.
Exactly. No, this is...
We're talking about people with lives in their hands.
And, I mean, and these people are continuing to do their job. They're just trying to bring their problem to the... For the public to know what's going on, and I think the public should know. And I admire these people. Like I said, I'm going to be over there supporting them.
It takes a lot of guts to stand up to the bosses, Wayne.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. And they should be admired for that. And this is, I mean, that reprimand and and they kept them from a day's pay. I'm telling you, they could get their money back, and they should get their money back, and they should get an apology. More than anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, let's work together to try to solve the problem.
You know, I guess somebody out there is upset because I read the letter that that was full of lies that was sent and picked it apart.
Yeah, and what law did they break?
None.
But didn't it say in the letter if they continue to break the law?
Something like that, yeah.
See, corporations are making law now, Bob. What's that? What do they call that?
The F word?
Yes, that's exactly what it is. So, anyway...
It's all working people, Wayne. It's all working people.
Yes, it is. And like I say, I think I think, well, where the public has to support these people.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try to do my part. Anybody wants to look for me, I'll be there. Around 11:30, I'd say.
Not tonight.
No.
Just not checking. Fun.
I can't, you know. How long do you want me to work? I belong to a union.
Yeah, I thought it maybe it was one of those solidarity things and you were going to pull a 16.
It would be beyond that.
I understand.
No, tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay.
11:30.
Miracles take a little bit longer than, you know, normal things.
Right.
Yeah, I'm saying, by the time I get, you know, I'll be over there by 11:30 or so.
Okay. Good.
All right.
I appreciate you standing up with them, Wayne, and I'm sure they do, too.
Okay, buddy.
All right. Take it easy.
All right. Bye.
Later. See, this is what happens. People stand with one another, and the next thing you know, you can't bully the workers anymore. I know it's a tough concept, but you would be surprised how good you feel when you stand with your own ones. In the interest of anonymity, I already shredded the email that I got. But if you were listening, you know how full of lies that letter of reprimand was. It was dirty. It accused these nurses of breaking the law and yet did not tell them what law they broke. Naughty, naughty, naughty. Libel, libel, libel. Mercy. So, and you know, Ed brings it out in very graphic terms. It's not just this hospital's problem. It's a problem in another hospital and another hospital. It's not just a problem in West Virginia. It's a problem in Kentucky, Virginia, Ohio, Maryland. You want me to do all 50 states? It's a national problem. Okay? It is a function of a broken system, a broken, profit-driven system where insurance companies dictate to the hospitals and the hospitals dictate to the workers. And the workers suffer and the patients suffer. But, of course, if I mention something like universal health care, I'm a commie, right? Oh, brother. I don't know how some people think. Jeff's with us. Hey, Jeff, your head on. Yo, Jeff.
Hey, Bob, what's up now?
Oh, you are.
I'm listening. That's been going on over there a long time.
I know, and they finally just got to the point where they had to do something about it.
Well, see, I'll tell you what I think, if I remember correctly. I could be wrong, but I think I know what that hospital's out is going to be.
What?
If I remember right, when they hire them over there, they sign a paper that says they're not allowed to discuss what's going on inside the hospital, outside the hospital.
Oh, sort of what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas?
Yeah, so I think that everyone, I think, if I remember right, I can't remember right. I could be mistaken, but I believe they...
No, that would be an unconscionable contract clause.
Well, I mean, if you don't sign it, you don't get hired.
Right, and as a consequence of that, it's probably easily stricken down, and probably should be.
Yeah, there's a lot in Beckley where the way our jobs are. There's a lot of stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
In all these I've worked at a couple of restaurants when I was just out of high school, and they would always tell you you're not allowed to. If you go out there and protest, you're fired.
Right, but see, and see, management in the, and you know, no offense, Jeff, but a restaurant is a far cry from a hospital.
Oh, yeah, from a college-educated profession.
If they haul off and fire, and see, what they tried to get through to them with this letter was, we're being real nice to you because we didn't can you.
Mm-hmm.
But again, what they're trying to do is they're trying to make the workers think that they've got them over a barrel.
You know why?
When in fact those nurses have the management far more over a barrel than they maybe even know.
You know
because
why?
They can't fire all those nurses at one time.
You know why they don't strike?
Because they care about their patients.
Nope.
Yeah, I tend to think so.
No, I mean, that's not the reason they don't. That might be a reason, but it's not the reason.
Because they can't afford to?
They can't. it's in the contract they sign every time over here. It's forbidden in their contract. They
right, and that's unless I'm sorely mistaken, that again is profoundly illegal within the laws of within the labor laws of this country, not let alone this state.
That's a real weak union over there. They have to fight and grovel to get 30 or 40 cents a year raise over there.
Well, you know what? They don't look too weak to me because, by God, Jeff, they stood up on their hind legs and they let people know what was going
on. It's been going on for years, Bob.
I know. And they have finally gotten to a, they finally reached a tipping point.
If that was a strong union, they'd tell them, look, you're not going to put no more than 6 or 8 patients on one RN and 2 LPNs. That's the way it is, or we're not signing the contract. But no, the management dictates to them what the contract is going to be. It's weak, Bob. I know it is.
Well,
I've been there before.
I had a procedure done there once, too. Maybe you mean you worked there. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I understand. That may be the way it is. But again, once you learn how to stand up,
I agree.
Your union gets stronger.
I'm not an anti-union person. I mean, I think that.
And that's what these people are finding out. They're finding out they can stand up. And with any luck at all, there will be a few people within the sound of this program who will let these folks know that they stand with them.
I guess that you're in favor of eliminating the filibuster on federal judge appointments then, huh?
No, I am. I quit smoking meth last week. But,
you did. Yeah, I'm kind of on that one. I'm kind of breaking party ranks on that one. I'm scared to do that, too.
Well, you know, I just hate being lied to, Jeff, and I'm not talking about you. I hate being lied to, and these guys can't conduct this debate without lying, like this business of they're entitled to an up or down vote. No, they're not. You can read Article 2, Section 2 until you turn blue in the face, and you will not find one word about a vote being compelled by the Senate.
Yeah, I know.
And, you know, it's not my side, it's the other side that's always saying, well, if it's not in the Constitution, it doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
Unless, of course, they need it to be there, and then they go all hypocrite, and the next thing you know, they're creating law where it doesn't exist.
Well, I'm not in favor of doing that, because I think that the Constitution is like a strap. It is strapped to, it should be strapped to a place, and that's the way it should stay. And then the judges are what helps keep that strap there. And if you have a president and a majority Senate, they could ram through who knows who.
Well, you're absolutely right. And
plus, a president, say like right now, Bush could say, well, I'm expanding that Supreme Court to 13 members.
Well, Franklin Roosevelt.
And ram through 4 guys.
Franklin Roosevelt tried that, and he didn't get away with it.
And it could be tried again.
And that was Democrats that in many instances that stopped the court packing under Roosevelt. But the other thing that's worth bearing in mind, where the Constitution is concerned and where majority rule more particularly is concerned, and I know you're going to think this is a little bit far afield. It's really not, because we're hearing so much about, well, by golly, it's majority rule and we want the majority to rule. Do you know, and I guess it was maybe 2003, one of the first things you started hearing, it was in Africa, it was in Rwanda, was, we are in the majority, we should be able to enforce our will, and the next thing you know, people were getting their heads lopped off, and that is one of the ugly downsides of so-called democracy and majority rule.
Certain things majority was meant to rule, but with the filibuster and Supreme Court justices and things like that, as Bird put it this weekend, there's on certain things the framers intended for sweet compromise.
Yeah,
and
well,
that's
George Washington at the Constitutional Convention pouring his hot coffee into the saucer and saying the hot coffee in the cup is the House of Representatives and the saucer's the Senate, and you want cool deliberation. And frankly, we got to remember, with all this crying going on, there were 45 Clinton appointees who couldn't even get out of committee.
Well,
never mind the filibuster, they couldn't get out of committee, Jeff.
I've seen a chart, and this started downhill in the 70s, but I think the percentage of Clinton judges that made it through committee and through the appointment process was like 71. And I think Bush's is just 53.
No, he's at 95%.
That's
205 federal judges have been confirmed out of 215
I'm talking
nominated.
About coming out of committee.
Oh, okay.
Making through. See, that's, you know, there's a lot of different ways to make your argument.
But the whole point is, he has nominated and had accepted 205 judges out of 215.
I saw a chart. It started back like with Nixon.
Hey, we're out of time, Jeff, man. We got to go.
Well, I appreciate the time.
Sure thing. Have a good night.
You too, sir.
All right. Great show tonight, everybody. Thanks for your participation. Thanks for standing up for the workers. You don't know what it means to them. You do not know. Well, maybe some of you do. But thank you. The show tonight, of course, produced by the intrepid Jesse Fulmer, engineered by Randy Cobway, announced at least in part by Brian Reznor, and brought to you as ever by the 20,000 workers of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, did you hear Wayne? Yeah, they're working for you. Also brought to you by our very good friends at the West Virginia Pipe Trades. We appreciate their efforts. The show is archived every night at whiterosesociety.org. We sure do appreciate Ben Birch's efforts in those regards. We'll be back tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. You be here, I'll be here. Hey, Agnes.